The Morning Invasion with Dax, Steve-O, and Teo on Star 88.
It's Thursday.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Beautiful morning, isn't it?
Still a bit early.
When are you gonna wake up?
Be extremely careful what you say. I haven't had my coffee yet, and I'm in no mood for stupid, irresponsible remarks.
It is a ridiculous waste of time. With no merit or meaning or lasting benefit on society. It's like a drain of global spiritual energy.
We've got great audio interfaces.
What good is a multi-wave distortion pedal without a true bypass?
I'm done re-kafoobling the energy motron!
What's the matter with everybody? Everybody's so grumpy every morning around here.
It's Thursday.
This seems like a good bit of fun.
Throw the switch.
We gotta go, go, go!
Let's go!
Show must go on, right?
Go, go!
It's showtime.
When I've been waiting here so long.
I have this on vinyl. Can I just say I have this on vinyl?
Oh.
Love Genesis.
One of my favorites.
Yeah.
She has the built-in ability.
This song is incredibly difficult to karaoke.
Really?
Yes.
Listen to me.
And now it seems I'm falling, falling for her. She seems to have invisible touch and...
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Good morning.
This makes me miss Teo.
Ugh.
This makes me miss Teo.
He'll be back soon.
Monday.
Back soon.
Last night. Hey, man. Is it you? Last night we were at my son's baseball.
Uh-huh.
And Anne, that's Zach's mom, she came up to me and she said, "How you doing? You doing okay without your buddy? You missing Teo?
Your partner? Your life partner?"
And I'm like, "I'm okay. I'm okay." Yeah, that's how I felt.
Yeah. He's out on the road doing the band thing for a week. It's all good. Thanks for joining us this morning. It's Thursday, 6:06.
High today of 72 degrees. Gosh, it's beautiful right now, isn't it?
It is so nice out. If you don't live in the 505 anymore, it's beautiful. I'm just waiting for the leaves to come back on the trees.
Mm. I will say it's half what it's supposed to be today. It's 36 degrees right now, so we're about halfway there to the high.
That's not too bad.
I'm still sporting a hoodie and a beanie.
Yeah, it's still a little chilly in the morning.
Yeah. And then halfway through the day, I just stripped down to a t-shirt.
Oh, we got a big show planned for you. It's Think About It Thursday.
Oh, man.
Do you like turkeys?
Like live turkeys or dead turkeys?
Live turkeys.
Sure. I have chickens, so
kind
I feel
the
like they're
thing, right?
Almost the way there. Yesterday, Christy and I were cleaning out the coop, and gosh, they can be obnoxious, that's for sure.
They sure can.
So... yeah, no turkeys. Turkeys are like three times the size.
I want to kick off the show this morning with a story about a flock of turkeys.
Not a flock of seagulls?
No, flock of turkeys.
Okay.
Flock of turkeys surrounded a vehicle in New Jersey. Postal worker. Shout out to all you postal workers out there. You work hard every day.
Dude.
Delivering the mail. Your packages. Well, this postal worker in New Jersey, he was attempting to deliver his mail in a suburban neighborhood. It was just another average day. The mailman saw a flock of turkeys coming his way. You see a flock of turkeys coming, what do, Steve-O?
Pull out your musket.
No, you don't.
Oh.
Now you jump in your truck, you hide, you get out of there, you run, you scream for help. That's what you do.
Turkeys?
Yeah.
Okay.
The mailman hid in his truck and called police, who used their sirens to scare the large flock of turkeys away from the vehicle.
Mm.
You know what a large flock of turkeys is called?
A gaggle.
A fowl.
Oh.
A fowl of turkeys, Steve-O.
Oh, it's a gaggle of geese, huh?
Yeah. Yes. The mailman was concerned that once the police left, well, they were going to come back after him. The police said, I don't know if this guy's had run-ins with turkeys before, but come on. I mean, they're turkeys. I guess the turkeys had lived in the neighborhood for some time without incident, but the lack of fear of being hunted or trapped causes the birds not to fear people. That's what this person at the Wildlife Human Conflict at Cornell University said. He thinks he knows everything.
Mm.
Despite the threat, the mail carrier completed his route, delivering mail to several homes near the site of the attack. Now, let me just say.
Did you just call it an attack?
Mm-hmm. It was an attack.
Okay.
I know this because I have a friend who was attacked by turkeys.
What?
And I have the audio to prove it.
Yeah.
Oh, he's coming across the street at me. No! Okay. Okay. Go away. Go away.
It's not going to work, lady. You've got to get out of there.
What do I have? I don't have a stick.
You have to run.
Oh!
Oh, no. Oh, jeez.
No, go away! Go away!
That turkey wants to eat her.
Okay. He won't stop.
And that's just one turkey.
No!
Think of a flock of turkeys.
I can't throw my camera at him. He's out this window now. Here he is.
She got in the car.
Okay.
Don't get out of the car.
He's like circling around my car.
Oh my.
There he is in the front.
You stay
waiting
in that car.
For me to
you
come out.
911.
Oh my God, there he is. He's waiting for me to get out of the car.
Yeah, he is. He wants to eat you.
Well, I would not want to be the people living here.
Well,
thank
yeah.
you very much.
Friend of mine works for the news. Okay, I don't know her at all, but...
Yeah, I was going to say.
It's a YouTube video. I saw a ton of... There's hundreds of turkey attacks on YouTube. Hundreds. You see a foul of turkeys coming your way, you get out of there. You run.
Well, yeah, they're probably pretty tired of their family members being killed off for Thanksgiving. Every year, we as Americans slaughter billions of innocent turkeys.
Because they taste so good. That's why.
All for the sake of proclaiming that we actually enjoy our families, and we know that's not even true.
Uh-huh.
We know that we mostly just do it because it's a day off and we have to.
Yep.
It's true. Most people are fighting on Thanksgiving. You got Drunkle in the corner saying stupid things, and you're like, I wish he'd stop talking. We're still murdering millions of birds. Enough is enough. They are tired. It begins by taking down our infrastructure known as the postal system. Oh, you laugh now, Dexter.
I'm not laughing.
You won't be laughing when you can't get your weekly coupons to all the places they send you in the mail, because that's really all you ever get in the mail anymore.
That's so true.
I know that every Tuesday, it's a Tuesday, I'm going to go out there and it's going to just be like that newspaper full of like all of the grocery stores that are wanting to get me to shop there.
Mm-hmm. Coupon Tuesdays.
But you know who is a fan of that? Chrissy.
Oh, really? Is she an extreme couponer?
She's not an extreme couponer, but she meal plans every week. And so she'll be looking through and it's like, oh, well, if I go here, I'll save $3 on this. And and she'll like actually map it out. That girl, this is why I don't go grocery shopping with her, because she'll end up going to like three places in one day because it's cheaper here for this and this and instead of just going to one place. I'm convenience guy and she's like saving that money, clipping them coupons.
Yeah.
Going to three different stores and we're going to eat this week. But I respect that after she gone for like 4 days.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
You have to.
I ate oatmeal and ramen. When she was gone, it was like I was in college again.
Oh.
I didn't know how to live.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know how to do it, which is hilarious because when she's home, I actually cook a lot.
Yeah.
But she'll buy all the ingredients.
I hate that.
You know what I mean? I don't have to do anything.
I go to the grocery store every night because I don't like to plan ahead.
Oh, see?
It's too much.
Come on. Weekly meal planning, bro.
That's a lot of planning.
It'll save you so much money.
I guess.
Yeah.
338-3700. Have you ever been attacked by an animal? You call us.
Ooh.
We want to know. Have you ever been attacked by a bird?
Bear.
A cobra?
Bear came at me.
A bear did?
Yeah, a bear right here on campus. We're on the news. It's true.
Ran up a tree.
Bear. I will say this. I have a largely unhealthy fear of mountain lions for some reason.
Yeah, you've said that before. That's
not a joke. That's real. Because we live in New Mexico. Okay, you're a jerk. I seriously, you see videos and it was like, there was a mountain lion in our neighborhood. It didn't maul anybody, thank the Lord, but yeah, totally crazy. And I just know I'm going to be that guy on the news that's like, local faux celebrity mauled by a mountain lion.
My friend had a mountain lion.
In Smith's. Like, I'll be the one guy. Wait, you had a friend that had a mountain lion?
Yeah. Okay. So I went over with a friend. Well, the owner of the mountain lion wasn't my friend, but I was with my friend who knew the person. He's like, hey, let's go visit my buddy. So he called his friend ahead of time and said, hey, I'm bringing over Dex. Let's scare him. So they do this all the time with people, though. They'll bring people over, and then they'll let the mountain lion out of the cage.
Nope.
And so we're sitting there hanging out in front of his house, and all of a sudden this giant mountain lion comes running over.
Nope.
Ah!
I would honestly pee.
Yeah, I did. And it jumps up on its owner and starts licking them, and they're playing. And, yeah, they raised this mountain lion since it was a cub, which probably not the smartest thing to do.
Yeah.
No, dude. Thanks for holding.
Yeah.
Guys, call in 338-3700 if you've got attacked by an animal. I've had a bird poop on me one time. I think that's kind of an attack.
Wow. That could be considered an attack, yeah.
It is. They're dropping bombs. It's not okay.
My dog attacked my couch yesterday. Mm. You know, I felt like it was a personal affront to me because he chewed through my couch.
Mm-hmm.
I got home and it was worse.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Cleaned it all up.
Put plastic over it.
And it was just way worse. So I went to the store and bought him a bed and said, you stay here. And all day, anytime you try and get on the couch, he goes, nope. And then try and give him a treat if he stayed in his bed. And I woke up this morning, I was like, he's going to be on his bed. And I walked downstairs. He was on the couch.
No.
Yeah.
Just chewing away again?
He didn't chew anything yet.
He's a chew toy. Do you have a chew toy for
him? I have a bunch of like rubber chew toys that he can't chew through. So maybe it was like, he felt like he needed a success in his life
because
he's failing at these rubber chew toys. He can't chew through them. So he just wanted to chew through something.
Rocket Raccoon.
I see you, Rocket Raccoon.
Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Good. I wasn't attacked, but my 8-year-old son was messing with geese over at the busket. I told him not to.
Yeah. Geese
and
are like turkeys.
They were minding their own business, and he wanted to go and try to mess around with them, and one of them just didn't want it, came after him.
Wow. Was he okay?
It was funniest. I wish I had a camera at the time. I didn't have my phone.
I wonder how that's going to permanently affect him for the rest of his life.
Hey, he'll listen to his dad. Don't
yeah.
Don't do it. Seriously.
Have a good morning, guys.
You too.
Yeah, geese.
They're crazy.
Hey, that bite hurts.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not fun.
Our chickens are pretty skittish, so like I haven't. Oh, yeah, I've been pecked before a few times.
Does it hurt?
But nah.
Yeah.
It's like this little pinch. Yeah, it doesn't hurt. Mm. Doesn't hurt. It frustrates more than anything because you're like, I'm trying to help you. That's what kills me because usually I get bit or attacked or something when I'm trying to like help an animal. It has nothing to do with like invading their privacy.
Right.
You know, I'm like, I'm not trying to check your email, bro, or like go through your social media. I just want to help you. I'm trying to clean up your coop. Jerks.
My dogs always got attacked by wild animals. Growing up in Montana, they'd always come home and be all mangled from getting into a fight with a badger. They got
what?
In a fight with badgers all the time.
You lived where the red fern grows.
Pretty much.
Old Dan and Lil Ann.
Uh-huh. Badgers, marmots.
Wow.
Bald eagles.
No, what?
Okay,
really?
They never got in a fight with a bald eagle.
Okay.
But
I would be terrified. Those things are ginormous.
Bald eagles or badgers?
No, bald eagle. I remember I was a snowboarding trip, and there was a bald eagle kind of like circling up above me, and I was just waiting for him to swoop down.
Mm-hmm.
I was so thankful I had a helmet on that day.
Because
they are ginormous.
They are. Beautiful. Yeah. When we were up in Montana this last time over the summer, we saw a bald eagle go down into the river and grab a fish.
No way!
It was really cool. It was awesome. It was like, America!
Yeah.
America!
Incredible.
Yes. Those moments, man.
Yeah.
Just glad to be an American.
Just proud, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
338-3700 if you'd like to call the show this morning. Let's think about it Thursday. What's on your mind? What are you thinking about this morning? We got a few things we're thinking about.
Yeah.
Steve-O's thinking about this wallet that got... Did the wallet get stolen?
A dude lost a wallet at a concert. You ever been in like in a situation where you just lose? I lost an iPad once. And I want to say lost to be kind. Somebody totally stole my iPad once. You feel like violated. Mm. Oh, it's so gross when somebody steals something from you. Like, just yesterday we got an email about a car being stolen from the parking lot.
How crazy is that?
I'm
here.
Like, what?
Yeah, I was in shock.
Like, the whole car?
The car and the car that got stolen was parked pretty much right next to
it
our cars.
It was parked next to our cars, yeah. So I was like, well, I want to be stoked that mine wasn't taken, but I'm also kind of offended that the thief looked at our cars and went, nah, I'll take this truck. I'm like, yeah. Really? Yeah. Come on, bro. My car's way cooler than that truck you stole. Steal mine. Wait, don't steal mine. Yeah. It was amazing.
Yeah, I've never had anything big like that stolen, so I can imagine it would probably feel like you've been violated.
Joey and I, dear Joey Belleville, who was here yesterday,
yeah.
Him and I emceed an event once. It was like this fashion thing for Mark Pardo, right? This big Aveda thing. And we had scripts, and so I was using my iPad like with the script. And so I had it with me the entire show. Well, the very final segment was simply like the thank yous and the good nights, and I had all that memorized. So I put the iPad on a stool, like just off of stage. Like just off of stage. Walk out, say thank you, it's been an amazing evening. All right, God bless you guys, good night, be safe. Walk back, iPad gone.
Oh.
Backstage, so you knew it had to be like either a model or a model. I want to give them the benefit of the doubt and feel like, you know, a model gigs are really hard. They probably needed to purchase cocaine, you know, late nights.
No.
So they stole my iPad.
No.
I've never forgotten it.
You can't leave your iPad out like that.
No, dude, there were like stagehands and like production people. And I'm like, I'm going to be back in 30 seconds. I trust all you people because we've spent an entire day just making something beautiful
together.
Why didn't
you just carry the iPad with you?
Because. You know, Dex, you are so unhealthy. This is years, and you're just ripping open this wound. Yeah, I know.
You still haven't gotten over it, have you?
No, yeah, never got over it. You feel violated. It's awful. So imagine, you know, losing something like that, like your wallet. Dude, driver's license, credit cards, everything's got to be replaced. And then some of your stuff comes back. We'll talk about it. It's a really interesting story.
Okay.
I'm excited for that one. It's a big show today, man.
Yeah, we'll do that in the 7 o'clock hour. Also, 9 o'clock, Brian Nixon, is he here?
Yeah, Brian Nixon is here.
Good. We'll continue to think about it Thursday with one of the smartest men in the world.
We got some really good questions today. Shout out to our boy, Bawatabha, out in Austria, who is currently listening. All the way across the globe in Austria.
Bawatabha, da-bang, diggy?
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah. You know who named him? Matt Gentry.
Really?
And I'm willing to bet that's why. Congratulations, you and Matt Gentry. Yeah.
Thanks, Dan.
You guys have the same brain. That's good, man. That's good. Your wife's going to be stoked. Oh, man. Yeah, we got some stuff to talk about today. I feel like we need to talk about the Pope again coming up in the 9 o'clock hour because we got an amazing email. Yesterday we talked about the Pope a little bit in the 9 o'clock hour, and we got a pretty bummed out email at us. So
awesome!
We're gonna have
Can't
to get
wait.
To that, man.
Sorry for all you podcasters out there. I don't know what happened with the podcast yesterday. It's usually Teo's job to do the podcast, and
he left us with stuff.
I put it up yesterday, and then I noticed it didn't go up. So
yeah, I subscribed to our podcast yesterday. And I noticed that I didn't get it.
The show yesterday.
But I
it
did
was
get
such
a show.
Good show. We had Joey on.
Yeah.
And
Nigel.
Yes. And so since you guys didn't get the podcast, I want to play some of that coming up at 7.
Podcast is there, by the way. It's Wednesday. It's totally downloading Wednesday's episode right now.
Yes. So. Because I did it this morning again.
Yeah, it's
so.
There. The glorious Joey Belleville. He hung out with us. Good. We talked about Apple. We talked about Ronda Rousey. Yeah. Lots of stuff.
And we interviewed somebody from Hillsong United. Or did we? It was so good.
That was one of my favorite
Joey
moments.
Joey had us all pumped. He's like, yeah, we got. I know this a guy in Hillsong United. We could totally interview him. I have his number.
To be fair, you said Hillsong United. He just said Hillsong. I don't know. Hillsong. He's part of Hillsong. And we're like, oh, cool, man. We assumed, It's got to be Hillsong United.
Yeah, that's what we thought.
Yeah. Boy, were we wrong.
Yeah, that's right.
Go to the podcast to listen to the audio. You can download it at iTunes. Subscribe at iTunes, guys. I love it. Mm-hmm. Our subscriptions are up. It's totally free. And the cool thing is that that helps us greatly if you subscribe to our podcast. So
today is February 18th. Happens to be cow milked while flying in an airplane anniversary.
What?
That's what I said. Cow milked while flying in an airplane anniversary.
Oh, okay. Wow. So the cow was milked while the cow was flying the plane?
Back in 1930, Elm Farm Ole became the first cow to fly in an airplane. During the flight, which was attended by reporters, she was milked, and the milk was sealed in paper containers and parachuted over St. Louis, Missouri.
That would be so weird. Mm-hmm. Imagine just hanging out and all of a sudden just jugs of milk falling from the sky.
Parachuting right out of the sky. So enjoy your cow milk while flying an airplane anniversary today.
That is the oddest day.
Good morning, everybody. We got some news coming up next on the Morning Invasion.
It's time for the Morning Invasion. Here's Dex, Steve-O, and Teo on Star 88.
Let's get on with the show!
I may have some news for you.
Big news.
Stand by.
Donald Trump's popularity among Republicans has never been higher. He leads Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz by more than 2-1.
Apple is refusing a government court order to unlock an iPhone used by one of the San Bernardino shooters.
America, meet your newest gazillionaires.
Lost a lot of sleep. I lost over 10 pounds.
Maureen and David bought a winning Powerball ticket in Florida and share the largest jackpot. They're taking home $327 million.
The U.S. flew 4 F-22 fighter jets over South Korea.
There's been a large explosion in the Turkish capital, Ankara.
The National Safety Council estimated that more than 38,000 people were killed in traffic crashes in the U.S.
Several suspected tornadoes, Florida and North Carolina.
30,000 people gathered Sun Bowl Stadium in El Paso, Texas, to watch Pope Francis hold a large outdoor mass just across the border in Mexico.
Survey says Americans are retiring early, not because we want to, but because health and job issues are forcing us to.
Thursday. Good morning.
Good morning.
Dex and Steve-O. Our boy Teo's out still. 636.
High today of 72 degrees.
It's going to look good the rest of the weekend. And
oh, man.
Through next
so week. Stoked. Yeah, it's crazy because, you know, in New Mexico weather, normally you get a couple good days and then it goes right back to chaos. Yeah. But looking at the 10-day forecast, I'll tell you what. The lowest it'll dip next Tuesday. I have 60. That's so far. But sunny. Maybe some cloud coverage a little bit over the course of the next week or
good.
So. But, yeah, dude. That groundhog was on to something.
Bunks with Donnie Phil.
Yeah.
I'm going to meet you one day.
And it wasn't a shadow, am I right?
Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. Big show planned for you guys. Let's think about it Thursday. What's on your mind? I posted on my Facebook page what people are thinking about. Let's see what they're thinking about here. Roseanne says she's finishing up Halo 5.
Okay.
Mackenzie, Walking Dead and Better Call Saul. That's what they're thinking about.
Still have not seen Better Call Saul.
My boy Dexter Gonzalez. What's up, Dexter? He's recording some music. Let's see. Farron's wondering, how did I end up on my couch?
What'd you say, bro? What'd you do?
Uh-huh. Doghouse. Jerry says, whose kids are these? Joshua says, missing my kids. Like, are you missing them? Like, they went missing? Or are you just, like, missing them? Like, just miss them. I understand. Michael's waiting for his vacation in March. There you go. Lots of people.
Beautiful.
Thinking about things out there.
What's I'm thinking up? About Kurt Russell right now.
Oh, yeah?
Yesterday, James Gunn made it official that Kurt Russell will be starring in Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
That's what I'm talking about.
It's been rumored for a long time, and it was finally confirmed. He could be. It's still not confirmed who he's playing, but all signs are pointing to the father of Star-Lord.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
If Kurt Russell
yes.
is Chris Pratt's dad, I'm just saying. I'm already very excited.
Kurt Russell is amazing.
Yeah, he is.
Love that guy.
Huge fan.
Oh.
Huge. Huge fan. Huge.
All right, well, let's jump into some of our news this morning, see what's going on out there in the world.
News.
A lot of stuff going on. Kurt Russell confirmed for the role in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. That, according to director James Gunn, principal photography getting going. So, guys, Guardians of the Galaxy 2. When is that happening?
When's that movie supposed to come out?
Gosh, that's a great question. You think I would have all of them memorized, but as of yet, I don't. I think it's 2018 for Guardians 2, I believe.
That's a long ways away.
I can confirm this.
2018?
Dude, that's when the next Star Wars is coming out. Don't get me started on how we know things way too early. It makes me really frustrated.
When did Guardians of the Galaxy, the first one, come out? Did it come out last year?
Oh, you know what? I apologize. May 2017.
Okay.
May 2017.
That's not bad.
So a year, yeah, year, a couple months. So we got good on that. Hey, you like cheese?
Love cheese.
Okay, yeah. See, normally I love cheese too. I'm like lactose intolerant, but if there's one cheese I can tolerate, it's like when they grate that Parmesan cheese over your food, like wherever you're at.
I always ask for that.
Love Parmesan cheese. Check it out. Chances are, if you like Parmesan, you're part beaver.
What?
Yeah, you probably have a container of 100% grated Parmesan cheese in your cupboard. Here's the bad news. Apparently 100% doesn't mean 100% Parmesan cheese.
Oh, no.
A lab tested the most popular brands of Parmesan and found all of them contained wood pulp.
Wood?
Wood pulp. It's called cellulose in the list of ingredients. It's a safe way to stop the cheese from clumping. That means there's wood in your cheese.
No!
You're eating bark. Seriously. The USDA has gone after companies before for selling Parmesan cheese. It's not as pure as it says it is. There's no word whether the study will make them go after these brands. But, yeah, to keep it from clumping, they put wood shavings in the cheese.
That's crazy.
You're eating wood.
It's so funny how we trust.
Pencil shavings.
We trust all of these food companies out there.
Yeah, dude. That's disgusting. Like, I am thoroughly grossed out by the fact that, but that's like the home, the home Parmesan. So hopefully, maybe if you get good, real Parmesan cheese and you grate it yourself, there's a chance there's no wood in it.
What does that do? Is there a health issue with the eating wood shavings?
Yeah.
Is that good for your digestive system?
Yeah.
Do you get splinters?
Possibly. That it gives whole new meaning to number two. like pencil.
Yes.
I'm like the poop.
Let's move on.
Okay. Yeah. Local business helped veteran who was robbed. An Albuquerque business has replaced a veteran's hunting bow that was stolen while he was serving in Afghanistan.
That's cool. This is
probably the coolest thing ever. James Arndt just got back from Albuquerque after a year overseas. He said someone broke into a storage unit at Montgomery and Eubank, stole $5,000 worth of belongings, including his bow. After hearing about it, KRQE News 13, Hit or Miss Archery Center decided to help. They said, Neil said, I wouldn't be able to come to work every day and walk through the store and get to do what I love if it weren't for him doing what he's doing for us. So it's the store owner said that he didn't needed to be talked into accepting the bow, but since then he was very, very grateful that they replaced his
bow. That's really cool.
Yeah, man. I like that. Good job, Albuquerque. Way to be in the news for something that doesn't suck.
Yeah, good job.
Yeah.
Ow!
Here's a sad story. You know, we just got wrapped up with the Super Bowl. Everything's great. Peyton Manning storybook, right? Great. He still hasn't decided if he's going to play or retire. Well, according to a report, the Broncos do not want Peyton Manning back at any price.
What?
Yeah. Broncos are done. Broncos are like,
Why wouldn't they? He just helped them win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, it sounds like if Peyton doesn't want to retire, he's going to have to play for another team, which is what his dad was saying right after the Super Bowl. But, yeah, it turns out Broncos, according to a report, don't want him back at any price.
Mm.
They're moving on. To be fair, Brock Osweiler, the backup quarterback, filled in for like 8 games over this last season, and they found their way into the Super Bowl. I mean, he helped greatly. I think they've got a good kid there.
So they're not worried about it.
I don't think they're worried about it. I wouldn't be worried about it. I don't know. A new study found that Starbucks drinks can have up to 25 teaspoons of sugar. 25 teaspoons of sugar. Let me relay that in other terms. About three times as much as a can of soda.
Fail!
Yeah. Yeah.
All you people at the drive-thru right now, just get out of there.
Just listening to us right now.
Just leave the drive-thru. Just pull out. You know, just get out of there as fast as you can.
25 teaspoons of sugar.
That's a lot.
Just get me that caramel macchiato, if you know what I'm saying, you guys.
I think my biggest issue with sugar is when I'm at home and I want a bowl of cereal.
Oh, man.
And I go and grab the sugar and I put even more sugar in my cereal that has already too much sugar.
Yeah. Yeah. I talked to my boys yesterday because, you know, we're like, you and I, Desert Forge, we're crossfitting it up. You're going with me today, right?
That's right.
Okay, good. All right. And so I've been really conscious about my sugar intake. And I picked up my son from school and he was wolfing down Fun Dip. Just like, I'm like, where did you get this Fun Dip? And he was like, it was leftover Valentine's Day candy. And he ate the entire package and then like the white stick, ate it, you know? And I'm like, dang, dude. Well, I get home and then Luke, my other son, walks in the door and he's like, hey, you should try one of my sweet tarts. And he had this giant bag of sweet tarts that he was just eating. And I'm going, how did they get this much sugar? I've never felt this like conscious about it, aware of it. But
that's the thing. They've always been like that.
I sat my kids down last night, no joke, and was like, guys, I just want you to know there's going to be some changes in the household about sugar. And then I promptly went to the store and bought the new cupcake-filled Oreos.
Come on, man. Not
right after I have this great conversation with my kids wondering where they get it from. And then I'm at the store supposed to be getting spaghetti stuff for dinner. That's all I'm supposed to be getting.
Come on.
And I'm walking by, and I am a sucker for every new flavor of Oreo.
Ugh.
Like, every time they come out, I tried the cinnamon roll one. Just had that.
Ugh.
Loved it. I try all of the new flavors. This one, meh. It's like a cupcake, you know, like Hostess cupcakes.
Oh, yeah. That one's out already?
Yeah, it's out. I got it yesterday. You're not missing anything.
Okay, good.
It's not a cupcake inside an Oreo. Yeah. I was lied to. It just tastes like a chocolatey Oreo.
Come on, man.
With more sugar inside.
Come on.
I know. I'm trying, guys. I'm trying. I had a Oreo yesterday, okay? Because I felt like a jerk because I just talked to my kids. So I'm like, you know what? Discipline. A Oreo.
I did really good.
Oreo.
I did really good yesterday. I had dinner at 6:30, and then I didn't eat anything else the rest of the night.
Nice!
Yeah.
Dexter.
That doesn't happen very often with me.
This is good.
Because around 9:30, right before I go to bed, I'm like looking everywhere for food.
Oh, I am famished. I can't wait for 7 o'clock when SOPA opens. Mm-hmm. I'm having 3 breakfast burritos this morning. I am so hungry. Yeah, it's happening. So anyways, move over, Starbucks. All right? No more. No more. A capuchin monkey got into some booze at a bar in Brazil earlier this month, speaking of bad habits, then got a hold of a knife and tried to attack people with it.
What? Seriously?
Imagine being at a pub and Marcel the monkey from Friends has a knife and all of a sudden wants to knife fight you. I'm just saying. That's got to be the weirdest looking monkey thing situation I've ever seen. Maybe the second weirdest situation, because the Super Bowl presented us with another very weird monkey situation.
Puppy monkey baby.
Yeah.
Puppy monkey baby.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about.
Puppy monkey baby.
Puppy monkey baby.
Puppy monkey baby.
Dude, my kids,
so weird.
Every day,
singing
puppy
it?
Monkey baby.
Yeah, kids all over the world were singing that. They loved it.
Every
adult was like, what was that?
I'll take knife fight monkey over puppy monkey baby any day of the week. I'm serious.
Puppy monkey baby. Puppy monkey baby.
Creepiest.
Puppy
monkey baby. Creepiest thing.
Puppy monkey baby.
Yeah. Hey, guess what?
That's what?
Cowboy.
Cowboy Donald?
Yeah, Donald. I got his autograph.
Cerrone's?
Yeah. Ricky gave me this pad that has a bunch of different fighters that like signed it for the station, and I kept it.
You didn't keep it.
Somebody actually bought it and then gave it to me
because they knew. Yeah.
Huge fan.
Yeah. I know.
Cowboy, bro.
I remember watching and listening.
Cowboy! It was supposed to be Cerrone and Tim Means, right? People in the Duke City were like, bro!
Yeah, because Tim Means doesn't fight out of the Jackson's camp. He fights out of another camp here.
Yeah, Yeah. And so it's going to be a big deal. Two Albuquerque fighters, right? UFC Fight Night 83. Yes. And then Means was like, no, man, I'm
okay. It's not
busy.
That, it's not that kind of drug testing. No,
it's not that kind of drug. He was positive drug test. Yeah. Caused the anti-doping agency to say, yeah, sorry, bro. You were totally not going to be doing this. Alex Oliveira.
That's who Donald's fighting?
That's the replacement for Means, which is just fine with Cowboy. He said, I don't ever care about the who. The who doesn't make a difference in the equation for me. So a fighter change, we were in Cabo fishing, and I didn't know the fighter had changed at the time. So now we got this new guy. Doesn't matter for me. It's hard for him. End quote. Dude, Cowboy will fight anyone, anywhere, at any time. If I were in that bar and a monkey approached me with a knife, I think the one person I would want in my corner is Cowboy. Mm. He would deal with the monkey with knife. Yep. He'd deal with anyone.
He's a cowboy. He's a real deal cowboy.
Does he ride on a steel horse?
Mm-hmm.
Is he wanted dead or alive?
Yep.
Bon Jovi.
All of that.
Thank you. Awesome.
He's a great fighter.
Mm.
Love
yeah.
that guy. And Tim
yeah.
Means, awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome guy. Awesome
fighter.
Too bad
he got busted for crack.
That's not what happened.
That's what it says. Okay? Positive drug test.
No, these guys, they take all these different types of...
It was Rogaine. He just doesn't want to say it. He's like, Yeah, no, man. It was crack. It was crack. It was Rogaine.
It wasn't Rogaine.
It was Rogaine.
It wasn't either.
No?
No.
I need to be careful because I forget Tim fights out of Albuquerque.
Yeah, and he's a really good guy. I know him. He's an awesome guy.
He's really nice.
Yeah, and he's a really good fighter.
Means, I'm just kidding, bro. I'm just kidding, bro.
Yeah, but yeah, if you're a UFC fighter now, you got to be really careful because you get popped for drugs or any sort of steroid. I mean, they're throwing down the hammer on you.
I know what that's like growing up with a mom that worked for the FAA. Oh, yeah. Random drug testing was rampant. This is actually real life. When I was a kid, I was furious because, Otis Spunkmeyer. Do you remember Otis Spunkmeyer? They made muffins, and I always loved the poppy seed muffins, and my mom would never buy them because she worked for the federal government and the FAA. Back then, it was like random drug tests, and she's like, hey, I can't. If I get popped for a poppy seed muffin, it looks like opium in my body. And I'm like 9 years old. I'm like, I don't even know what that means. Why won't you buy me a lemon poppy seed muffin? I hate you. I love my mom.
Which you didn't call yesterday. You didn't call your mom
yesterday. I called her yesterday after work.
Did she mention that you didn't call her on the morning show?
She didn't. She was very happy, and she couldn't have answered, she said, because she was working in the florist department.
Oh.
She works at a grocery store. You know, she's like retired, so she's like got this part-time job where she's like, today they let me work at the Starbucks. It was a lot of fun. Yesterday she was in the flower area, and she was doing just flowers and stuff
at the
old Smiths or whatever they have in Arizona. Yeah,
that's funny.
She works in
that's good.
She's working in the bakery today. Got to decorate a cake. She's not from Wisconsin, and she doesn't sound like that. She's a little 5'2" Spanish mom.
Does she call you mijo?
No, no.
I think
because we all came out white looking, she was like, I better talk white to them. So, like, my aunt and everybody else will talk like that, but my mom, she keeps it straight, yo.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning.
Morning.
I had a comment on the Parmesan cheese.
Yeah.
There was a World News report last night that it's also in the real stuff.
It's in the real stuff, too? Come on.
Great.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, I guess you're supposed to look for that cellulose ingredient or something.
Hmm. I'm just not going to eat anything anymore. I'm just going to go out and hunt for my food.
Okay, that won't.
I'd starve to death because I'm not a very good hunter.
See, this is why we stick with the local butcher for everything. Old Bessie.
Thanks for that update, buddy.
Yeah, I guess.
Sure.
Yeah. Thanks for telling us we're eating wood.
wood shavings.
See, this is why. Cutting cheese out, bro. You know who completely steers away from cheese? Skip. He threw down his, like, lifestyle change, and it was intense. And I, since then, I've been like, oh man, I'm gonna die. I'm gonna die like next week.
I really don't eat a lot of cheese, though.
Yeah, pizza's my jam.
Okay, I do eat a lot.
Pizza is my jam.
I just think
I could eat pizza for breakfast, for lunch, for second lunch, for dinner, late night snack. Pizza.
Ugh.
Get me pizza. I've been on this making my own pizza kick too. So I've been buying a lot of my own. Well, I buy mozzarella. Lots of mozzarella. So making my own pizza. I wish I could say it's from scratch, but usually I go to the old Dion's and just go, can I have a large dough ball, please?
Yep, did that the other day.
Yes, dude.
Made our own pizzas for the fam.
Yes.
Good morning.
Mostly.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So I'm not entirely sure what the conversation's going on.
Oh, nothing.
I literally just turned on my radio, and you guys are scared about cheese and, like, not wanting to eat stuff.
Listen.
Not good at hunting food. I get it.
Yeah.
I don't even know where I would go hunting for tacos.
Right.
Or what creature that would look like.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure, like, my diet's garbage. I can only imagine.
You need to eat better. Our boy Tommy.
I know I need to.
Yeah.
It's more of...
You have to.
I'm lazy, and yeah. I love the food. I had... Just imagine this. You get the Dion's pizza.
Right.
And then you put 14 strips of bacon in between that.
Ooh.
You get hamburger patties.
You're going
to
die.
Layer out the whole thing.
Come you on, are now. Going to die.
You just do a little bit of ranch, and then you get another Dion's pizza, and you throw
is
it on top
real
of it.
Taco Town? That's what it reminds me of.
Let it chill for like 15 minutes, and
what?
You have a giant calzone hamburger.
Oh, my gosh.
Feel better about yourself. I've
okay.
done this
that is...
once, and it was a beautiful, wonderful thing.
That is the best, worst thing I've ever heard in my life.
You can only eat one in your lifetime, though.
Dude, our boy Tommy, he owns Desert Forge Fitness, where we hang our hats now. He is. I can just hear him fuming, like, because he listens.
Hey, where's our list, Tommy?
He's, like, trying to make a diet plan for us
where's
to make,
our,
it, make our lives
I'm
not
dying
suck.
Here.
And hearing this conversation, he's probably freaking out right now. Like, step away from the pizza. You got it.
All right, well, gentlemen, you both have yourselves a wonderful day.
You
Goodbye.
Too. Bye-bye. Parmesan cheese, guys. Cheese and wood. It's called cellulose. Look it up in the ingredients and be stoked. You're making pencils in your body.
All right, coming up next, some good news. A gas station did something really cool for some stranded drivers. Talk about that coming up. Let's think about it Thursday. Brian Nixon will be in at 9. So if you guys have any theological questions, any biblical questions, anything about life, this is the guy. Where did he study at? Did he go to Oxford?
Cambridge and Oxford and Stanford at the same time.
At the same time?
All three.
I didn't know that.
No, I don't know where he went. But you believed it because he's that smart looking.
Big show this morning, guys. We're going to take a break. Hang out with us.
Invasion with Dex.
He's going to be holding Caleb's backpack. He'll probably just throw it at you and then take off running the opposite direction. But don't panic, okay?
Steve-O.
I did it.
What
did
happened?
It.
What
package
happened?
Delivered.
Man,
I got to lie down.
Impossible.
I am winded.
Yeah.
I am so out of shape.
Yeah.
And Teo.
This is Exhibit A. Did you see how I just tried to talk to the cat and I was fine?
Yeah.
There's no evidence of a weird relationship between myself and my cat.
The Morning Invasion with Dex, Steve-O, and Teo.
Good morning. Whoa.
You all right?
I think so.
Okay.
7:06.
High today of 72 degrees.
Hit that podcast. Got it updated for you this morning. Sorry, I did something wrong yesterday. Didn't love. But it should be, yesterday's show should be up there. We had Joey Belleville on.
The one, the only. The incomparable.
We had a good show yesterday. So if you only get a little bit of the show every morning, hit that podcast at iTunes. Just type in The Morning Invasion. You can go to star88.fm, get our podcast there. You can watch us on the cameras. We got webcams. What's up? I don't know what camera it's on, but what's up, everybody? What's
hey, up? What's up? I don't know either.
What's up?
It's on yours.
What's up, everybody?
Usually on yours.
What's up, everybody?
It's good.
Hey, you can see what happens in the studio and... You know, sometimes we dance, we high five.
I stare at my phone a lot.
We cry and we hold each other.
No, that's never happened.
Coming up, we're going to think about it with you guys. 7:30, we'll talk about a man who lost his wallet.
I posted the story on Facebook for people to get their thoughts prepared. So Think About It Thursday. A friend of mine hit me up this morning and said, is Think About It Thursday like the grown-up Elmo? Hi, everybody. Just Think About It Thursday.
You have the greatest Elmo voice in the world. I forgot about that.
That's how I trained my son to go pee in the potty.
Oh, that's awesome.
My eldest, Jack, who is now 12, so he fully understands that I was Elmo. But yeah, dude, if he when he was like one, it was like, dude, I got this in, bro. I work in radio. So if you go pee in the potty, I'll have Elmo call you.
Oh.
And so every time he went pee in the potty, Elmo would call him and hang out with him.
What would Elmo say?
Be like, hi, Jack, it's Elmo. Hi, how's your day? And he'd be like, hey. Wait, he wasn't one. He was a couple years old because you know, like 2 years old. So he could kind of talk, you know, and it was like, I'm good. I'm peeing the potty. You know, and I'd be like, ah, that's so exciting. Keep doing it. Seriously. Don't stop peeing the potty. Don't pee your pants or the bed or the couch.
Oh,
I'm
man.
Serious because it's gross. And now we're tired of cleaning it up. I mean, your parents are tired of cleaning it up. I would seriously call him every time. But it backfired because after like a week, he'd just be stoked to talk to Elmo every time. And so then I called him up and it was like, oh, it's Elmo. And he said, hey, Elmo, when are you coming over? And I was like, crap. Gotta go. My dad is really sick and I can't. Sesame Street is like so far away.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. I was screwed.
I remember
I freaked out after that.
I remember when you talked about that on the air one time years ago, and one of my kids was going through it, and so I don't remember who I had play Spider-Man, but I had Spider-Man call.
No way! Landed. Wait, call?
Yeah.
How does Spider-Man call? It's like, literally anybody could be like,
yeah, exactly.
Hey, buddy, it's your old pal Spidey.
But guess what? It worked.
Oh, wow.
It totally worked.
That is amazing.
Landon, you know, he was struggling with going potty, so I was like, hey, if you do this, I have a special surprise for you. Spider-Man's going to call you. He's going to call you because I know Spider-Man. He's like my best friend. And he just was. And so I got on the phone with Spider-Man. And sure enough, he ran to that toilet.
Dude.
It worked.
It's amazing. So, for note, parents, if you're needing your kids to be potty trained, I only charge $20 a phone call. Just tell me their name. And I'll do it, man.
Hey, everybody. It's Elmo. Just hanging out on Star of the Lion with my girlfriend, Dex.
Hey, Elmo.
Hi, Brody.
Oh, I'm glad you're with us this morning.
This really hurts my throat.
Well,
I think I want to go.
Okay.
I'm going to go take a nap or just like a hot toddy or something because it really hurts my throat.
That's amazing.
Elmo's got a problem. Elmo needs to stop.
Didn't the voice of Elmo, didn't he get busted for doing something recently?
I mean, not me, but the other Elmo voice guy. Yeah, he got it.
Who likes good news?
Good news, everyone.
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 The good news is, start breeding.
Who likes good news here?
I love good news. Is this really good news? Because at this point, I feel like I have PTSD from your stories.
Come on.
Because like 50% of the time, they're great. And then 50% of the time, I want to cry myself to sleep.
This is good news. I always have good news.
Uh-huh.
Guy named Hitesh owns a gas station.
There's a surprise.
In Saluda, North Carolina. It's about 90 miles west of Charlotte. And he usually closes the gas station around 10 p.m. every night. But conditions there were pretty icy last Monday, and at least two cars slid off the road. One of the drivers was a woman who was by herself. The other was a woman named Lashia Colson, who had her four kids with her. All of them ended up at the gas station with no way to get to a hotel. The roads were way too dangerous to drive on. So instead of closing, Hitesh stayed open all night and let everyone crash in the break room. He gave them chairs, cots, couch to sleep, brought in a space heater, and even hooked up a TV for the kids. He told the local news that one of them looked like his niece, and he knew he'd want the same for her if she was the one stranded. That's good news.
That's good news.
That's great news.
I mean, yeah.
Come on. Maybe this will help you. This is the woman talking about how good it is.
I was just sitting there crying because I was just really scared and panicky at the moment.
Yeah.
It was like the most compassionate thing.
Mm-hmm. Hello? Are you there? Okay. She hung up on us.
She didn't hang up. That was an audio clip.
Think about it.
That's all you got.
Think about it, Steve-O.
No, I know.
You're with your kids.
Yeah.
Roads are icy. You slip off the road into the ditch. And there's a gas station right down the street. You walk over with the kids. But they're closing.
Yeah.
And the guy working there says, sorry, we're closing.
Okay, he didn't.
It is time to lock up. I'm sorry, you got to go wait in your
what
car.
What was his name? Hitesh?
Hitesh. I'm sorry, we close at 10. We cannot offer you any business now.
You lost
please,
it. You were there for like 0.4 seconds. You were like, hello?
Hello.
And that was all you got out. And then it was like, oh, we are very sorry. I'm like, that's not an accent. That's nothing.
No, Hitesh, man, he let him come in. You stay
he
here
it
tonight.
Up, bro.
I'll give you a space heater. Here's a cot. I'm going to get the TV going. You guys can have anything you want in here, snacks, everything. He didn't offer him any
of
that
stuff.
They had to pay for it. But still. That is good news. That's what we need to do as human beings. We take care of each other.
I would be terrified to sleep in a gas station because that's like how most horror movies start. It's like you're all locked in. It's like, what's outside? Oh, no. But there's like 9 packages of Twinkies in here, so I feel safe.
When I was growing up, we went to a school that was about 30-minute drive from where I lived. And so my mom would drop us off at the bus stop. Which was 15 minutes away, and then the bus would pick us up and take us the rest of the way to school. And so we used to hang out at the gas station every morning, and then after we got dropped off from school. And it was awesome because we got to eat all these amazing snacks all day. The lady, you could tell she didn't like us because, you know, we were kids and we were making a bunch of noise in the gas station and stuff. I have no idea where I'm going with this story.
That's really? That's it?
I know. I was like, why am I telling this story? There's nothing cool about it at all.
I was actually paying attention to that one. Dang it.
I was thinking, wait a second. There's
wasted
nothing good
moments
about
of
this.
My life that that's, I'll never get
the
back.
The only thing that I could compare to like hanging out at a gas station is, you know, getting dropped off.
I'm like, this is going somewhere. There was a storm. There was a bear attack. Yeah. Something happened. They got trapped. They were there for
route.
Hours.
I know. I should have went that route. I never. Nothing cool happened. We just ate snacks and waited for our mom or the bus to pick us up.
Gosh.
It was a good childhood.
I remember being a little kid here, actually, and one time the storm was so – there was a winter storm that was so bad that they had everybody they couldn't make it all the way home, so they took us to another high school, and we were all like in the gym with cots.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah,
with cots.
Yeah,
you had to spend the night.
You were supposed to, unless your parents could like actually make it out. But my good old mom. I wish we had Lee Greenwood, because if we had Lee Greenwood in the background right now, it'd make the story so much better. Because everybody was like, we were trapped there, and we were gonna have to spend the night. I think it was Manzano's Gymnasium. I'm calling it a gymnasium, and all of a sudden I feel really ancient, guys. We were trapped in Manzano High School's gymnasium, also referred to as the gym. Yeah, we were stuck there, and they put cots up for people overnight unless your parents could come get you. And there were like a few parents that actually made the trek to get them, and I remember being there just really depressed because I was going to be stuck there overnight. You don't have cell phones back then when we were little kids, you know? So I was just like, I'm going to spend the night in this weird gym, and I don't know what to do. And then all of a sudden, never surrender. My mom showed up.
Yeah, because that's what moms do.
Because we're from Texas, and we drove a Suburban.
Yeah.
And that Suburban made it in the snow, and she said, you think you're sleeping in this gymnasium, son? It is 1985. I got you. I got you! Yeah, my mom picked us up.
That's awesome.
It was great. Ow! So we weren't stuck.
I think
on
mine
cots.
Was actually better. My story was a little bit better.
I almost had to spend the night. That's kind of like your the story. At least mine was like kind of like the story.
Not really.
I mean, almost had to spend the night at a gymnasium.
I mean, they were cots.
Never that's calling really it only, a gym again.
Only thing they really.
You going to go to the gymnasium with me later? Going to go to Desert Forge Gymnasium later? Can I start calling it Desert Forge Gymnasium?
No.
It's not even Desert Forge Gym. It's like fitness or something. Calling it the gymnasium. The old gymnasium.
The old gymnasium.
I've said the word too many times, and now I'm starting to question whether or not that's a real word.
It is a word. It's a real word.
Gymnasium.
It's a real word.
All right.
I have more good news.
Oh, no. Good news. Another family got trapped in the middle of nowhere overnight. It's really good news.
No. That has nothing to do with that. No. A single mom in Massachusetts won $200 on a scratch-off lottery ticket on Saturday.
What a gambler center.
Heck yeah. And used the money to put a homeless guy up in a hotel for 3 nights.
Dude.
That's what you do. You win $200 on a scratch-off lottery ticket, and then you hook up a homeless guy in a motel.
That's how you really do it. That's seriously because people pray. You know, they're like, if I could just win the lottery, I'd give half to my church, and I'd build orphanages. I'm not currently tithing now, but I mean, I'm sure I'd get my life in order at some point if I had $200 million.
Yeah. This is what's cool. Is she started a GoFundMe page for this homeless guy. And it's already raised nearly $15,000.
Wow. That is incredible.
I legitimately had like $2 left in my pocket and I bought a scratch ticket and I won $200 on the scratch ticket. I knew that the money never really belonged to me, that this money was meant to help him. At no time did I ever feel threatened by him. He was so overwhelmed by just the generosity of a coffee that he just couldn't stop crying.
I'm overwhelmed. With all the help, I just want to thank anybody for
it. Tony Evans? Two minutes with Tony.
apparently she tried to call a bunch of homeless shelters around the area, but they were all full. So then she said, you know what? I just won $200, so I'm going to put you up in a motel. And that's what she did.
That's incredible.
Really cool.
What motel is $200 for 3 nights? Where do they live? Massachusetts. Okay.
She also got a few people to donate warm clothes. A local barber went to his room to give him a haircut. One kid even showed up with a handmade Valentine card.
Oh, my gosh.
The guy's name is Glenn Williams, and he's been homeless for 3 years. And so she built that GoFundMe page, and so people are raising money. Now, the thing about these homeless people out there, we've said it before, a lot of them, you know, they're homeless because they're either mentally ill, or they just really have nothing. Like, they've lost everything. Family.
Yeah.
They have no friends. They lost their home. And they're just in that horrible spot in their life where they just, that's why they live on the street. They just decided, you know what? I'm just going to go and just live.
Yeah.
Just live out there. And these homeless shelters out there, they're amazing. They do so much for our cities. I don't think people realize just how much these missions, how much they do for our city.
Yeah.
Because if we didn't have those missions, our city would look completely different.
Absolutely. And you know, the interesting thing is, you know, cities like Albuquerque, we have great programs here. Joy Junction, we've got the Rescue Mission, mm-hmm. Albuquerque Rescue Mission, we got Noonday. We got so many different that do so many different things. And we see, you know, down in Knob Hill all the time, that's, you know, I see homeless people
on
regularly.
Central. That's where you see a lot of homeless.
Yet you go to cities like Seattle. And it's like every other person. Mm. You know what I mean? So Albuquerque does a fantastic job caring for the homeless here.
Yeah. So please give what you can. If you have extra clothes, you have some non-perishable food items, any extra money, these shelters, they need stuff year-round.
Yeah.
They don't need it just on the holidays. No, they need it year-round. Because if we didn't have these shelters, then you'd see a lot more crime.
Mm-hmm.
You would see a lot more of these homeless people getting so desperate that they will break into homes.
Yeah.
Your city's going to look completely different without these shelters.
Yeah.
Especially if you are I remember going down to the shelter and seeing a mom and dad with their kids.
Ugh.
They were homeless. They were a family, but they were homeless.
Yeah.
And if I was in that situation and I didn't have a shelter to feed us, and my kids were starving, who knows what I would do to make sure they got fed.
Sadly, a lot of families are a few short paychecks away from homelessness. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? You lose a job. Some maybe it's a medical issue. Something happens. All of a sudden, you're trying to pay that. You're taking care of that. You lose a job. And, well, if you're paycheck to paycheck, you got a couple paychecks worth to try and get through. And then what do?
Go to the storehouse.
Right.
Storehouse in town. They see a lot of mostly families that when they pay their bills, when they pay their mortgage, when they pay the electric, they have no money for food.
Right.
And so they see a lot of these families coming down to get groceries. that are sometimes even middle class.
Remember when you started the story and it was good news and now I'm just depressed?
I know.
Gosh,
where
dude.
Where did I go wrong? I don't know. Good
You're
morning.
Like, good news, guys. Ugh.
Good topic, gentlemen.
Oh, yeah, Gentry.
What are you doing, buddy?
Oh, Gentry.
What's going on, people?
The radio legend.
The one, the only.
Matt Gentry.
Yes, thank you, thank you. Good topic this morning. I got to keep it quick, but I have a feeling that if Steve-O's idea really takes off, then it'll probably raise a few eyebrows, but I think it's an amazing idea to raise funds for the homeless.
Stop talking.
What do you got? What do you got?
Go ahead, Steve-O. I got to go, but go ahead.
Oh,
no, stay
Gentry.
On the phone. I miss your voice, buddy. Oh.
That guy, he's like my fifth favorite co-host, like on the list. He was like solid fifth.
Yeah,
I
so
loved
good.
That guy.
What? Tell me all about it.
I don't have an idea. I'm not
Come
sharing
on.
This.
Come on.
Matt Gentry, the worst. So I had this idea, teaming up with the Albuquerque Rescue Mission. Maybe Noonday. Maybe the Storehouse. Who knows? And the Albuquerque Isotopes, you know, our local AAA baseball affiliate.
Yeah.
I say we get those guys.
The Isotopes?
Yeah, and the homeless.
Okay.
What we do...
Oh.
We'll call it the Homeless Run Derby, all right?
Okay.
We'll get them in the stadium. This is the worst. No, this is not happening. I actually pitched this to the Albuquerque Rescue Mission. I'm like, guys, well, I got an idea.
What is it?
To help homelessness. What we're going to do is we're going to gather up the homeless guys, and we're going to have a home run derby, right, at the park for, like, food. Like, however far they can hit a baseball, they'll get prizes, right, for, like, depending upon how far these homeless people can hit baseballs. We'll call it the Homeless Run, right? It'll be amazing. It'll be like the bum rush, if you will, right? And it'll just, you know, we'll have like the X Games, but for homeless people, and they win food.
Wait, can you guys
We could
just
actually call on, it the hold, Hungry
hold,
Games.
Hold on a second, everybody. Because we can't say that.
Why not? Why not? You can't say We're back. Glad we got that squared away.
Like to apologize to anyone who's listening.
Literally everyone.
Steve-O wasn't serious.
I was not serious.
That was a joke.
Although, man, could the Hungry Games?
Oh my,
are you kidding
oh,
me? The Hungry Games?
My goodness.
I mean, let's be honest. It's still popular right now. You could call it that. Except instead of like for sport and killing each other, you know, it was just it'd just be for food. It'd just be for food.
No.
Strong survive. Only the strong survive. It's been fun. Thanks, Gentry. Thanks, man. You bring out the worst of me.
Dale, we're going to need you to come back right now. Pretty sure Steve-O's getting fired.
Mm-hmm. ABQRescue.org if you'd like information on real organizations doing real things. Real organizations.
All right. We got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to think about a guy who lost his wallet. And he actually got it back. But
sort of.
Yeah.
Sort of? We already got a few comments on Facebook.
All right.
Can't wait to talk about
it. We'll share that when we come back. Hang out with us.
All is well. We're back with the Morning Invasion on Star 88.
I may have some news for you.
Big news.
Stand by.
Donald Trump's popularity among Republicans has never been higher. He leads Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz by more than 2-1.
Apple is refusing a government court order to unlock an iPhone used by one of the San Bernardino shooters.
America, meet your newest gazillionaires.
Lost a lot of sleep. I lost over 10 pounds.
Maureen and David bought a winning Powerball ticket in Florida and share the largest jackpot. They're taking home $327 million.
The U.S. flew four F-22 fighter jets over South Korea.
There's been a large explosion in the Turkish capital,
The National Safety Council estimated that more than 38,000 people were killed in traffic crashes in the U.S.
Several suspected tornadoes, Florida and North Carolina.
30,000 people gathered Sun Bowl Stadium in El Paso, Texas, to watch Pope Francis hold a large outdoor mass just across the border in Mexico.
Survey says Americans are retiring early, not because we want to, but because health and job issues are forcing us to.
If you go to our Facebook page, Star88FM, you guys can check out a video of a T-Rex riding a horse.
You're welcome.
Seriously, it'll make your morning.
It really made mine. It really did. So happy. Had to post it.
Go like us if you haven't. Star88FM. Comment. I know you're commenting, Victoria. It's all good. It's all good, girl.
Yeah.
Keep it up.
You're going to win her over with your kindness, man.
Just keep it up, Victoria.
She's a meanie to you.
It's okay. You know, I get it. I crashed her show. You know, things were fine before I got here. I didn't need to come in and mix things up. Change.
I like
is
it
hard.
Better.
Change is hard.
Is it okay? I was part of it. I always enjoy when people like have opinions outside of it, and I'm like, hey, remember how I was big part of that show? I like this show better. I think this is actually my favorite morning show I've ever been a part of.
Oh well, thanks, man. Me too. I appreciate that. But I get it. Change is hard. And just roll with the punches, man. And
maybe third favorite when I started thinking about it, you know. Maybe third favorite.
Third?
Yeah, third.
What are we being, first to third?
Well, there's Steve-O and Mitch in the morning.
Okay.
You know, and then, of course, the Three Amigos.
That was the best show.
Yeah, I mean,
that was good.
Know.
That was really good.
Third's still good, though.
Yeah, that's not bad.
You know, third favorite.
It is 7:38.
High today of 72 degrees.
Na-na-na-na-na. Think about it Thursday. We're going to get into our Think About It Thursday.
Dude, people have already been thinking about it. We got a lot of comments on Facebook.
We're going to get into that right after some quick headlines.
News. A lot going on in the news world today. One, a guy rides a T-Rex costume around, riding a horse. Around. I was not on the news. Remember how I went viral?
When you saw the bear?
Verizon has a gadget for your car called Hum. It's kind of like OnStar. They're adding two new features to help parents keep tabs on teenage drivers. One tells you if they drive outside a certain area. The other tells you how fast they're driving.
Hum.
Do you want that? Like, do you really want that?
As my kids started... You know what? I don't know.
It's like Big Brother-ish.
Yeah, but when you have kids, especially my son, he's going to be driving in the next year and a half, 2 years. I'm going to want to know where he's going.
Our parents had to trust us when we were kids.
Yeah.
We didn't always make the right decisions,
no, we didn't.
But at least we were given the opportunity to try to make the right decision.
Yeah.
It's like if something is forced upon you, that's not you choosing it. That's literally just... somebody crashing your party and telling you this is the way it ought to be. It's like when I was a kid and people would try and force me to listen to, you know, quote unquote Christian music or, you know, go to church and live like this and be like this. When you're imposing and forcing something upon someone, it doesn't change anything about their heart or attitude.
I feel like this is a great Think About It Thursday question.
Sorry, I guess I could have.
It's a really good one, actually.
Sorry. Well, yeah, dude, because I don't know if I want to impose that on my kids. Like, listen, I got a tracking device. It's going to tell me exactly how fast you drive so that you drive slower. It's also going to tell me where you go, so don't screw this up.
And I feel like I'm on the other end where I want to track my kids. I want to make sure they're safe and making the right decisions. And
yeah.
I want them to know that, hey, dad's watching. Mom and dad are watching.
Mm.
We should save that one for later.
Okay, fine. You should put that in the Think About It Thursday, whatever.
Okay.
Verizon, bro.
Doing it right now.
The Pope Francis, we were talking about him yesterday. He was in Mexico, and we had a friend, Edward, right, I believe?
Mm-hmm.
Hit us up and say, bro, can't wait to see you guys. Can't wait to hang out with you guys. Pope is down in my hood. What do you guys think about the Pope? And we talked a little bit about the Pope. We're going to talk a little more about the Pope today in the 9 o'clock hour because somebody was very upset with the way we talked about the Pope. Which is funny because normally people get upset that we talk negative about things. Somebody was actually upset that we were talking positively about a human being. So we'll talk about that in
we
the 9 o'clock hour.
We just can't ever make
we
anybody
can't win.
Happy.
We seriously cannot win. But the Pope yesterday got annoyed with the crowd in Mexico. People were tugging on his robes and he fell over onto a guy in a wheelchair. And was trying to get up, but people were seriously crowding him so much, just trying to, like, touch him.
Ugh.
So he was like, I was watching the video and he was like pushing people back and asking them to please stop being so selfish. That dude, yeah, anyways, he definitely let them know how upset he was, which is funny because, again, like, his angry version, angry Pope is much different than angry Steve-O. You know what I mean? Like, he was still so, like, angry gracious. He was grangry. I don't even know how to say it because he was still like, stop being selfish!
All right.
I'm trying to help a guy in a wheelchair! I would just lose it.
We're all a bunch of sheep, man. Yeah. We're all a bunch of sheep.
Yeah. I wish he would have just Supermaned out and like pushed everybody away and then flew away on his Pope cape. Speaking of Superman, actor Henry Cavill, 32 years old, okay?
Is it Cavill or Cavill?
I call him Cavill. It's probably Cavill. Whatever. It's Jim Caviezel. I don't know. Henry Cavill. 32 years old. His girlfriend, however, is 19.
Wait, what? He's how old?
32. She's 19 years old.
Seriously?
She's at least in college and not high school.
Oh.
College student named Tara King. I actually saw photos yesterday. I was reading this article in depth because he said she's very mature for her age, guys.
Come on. I just don't think that's okay.
He said he doesn't see anything wrong with it. In fact, when he was 19 years old, he dated a 32-year-old woman.
So that makes it okay.
That does not make it okay.
What?
19, dude.
19. That's weird.
When you hit 30, and I'm not saying like that, you know, oh, drinking age, but like there, you can't even go to certain establishments together still.
Yeah.
He's 32, and he's like, hey, do you want to go hit up Gary Clark Jr.? I heard he's playing. Oh, it's a 21 and over show. Yeah.
She's fresh out of high school.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah.
And he's our age. He's our age. He's 36.
He's 32.
Oh. Well, he's Teo's almost age. Our age. He's Teo's age.
It'd be like Teo dating. Yeah.
Teo dated a 19-year-old? That's not okay,
it's
I don't think.
It's not okay in the slightest.
No.
Do we think, but here's the thing. Okay, now let's fast forward 20 years, right?
I feel like this is another Think About It Thursday.
She's 39.
Uh-huh.
And he's 52.
Well, that's completely different, though.
Oh, is it?
It is completely different.
Oh, is it completely
because
different?
Because a 19-year-old is a completely different person.
Yeah, because I could gross this out and be like, okay, he's 25 and she's 12. Or, you know, whatever. Like, oh, okay, yeah, well, we can't play the numbers game.
And, you know, what is it? Game. Your brain isn't fully developed until you're 25, is what they say. That goes into it.
Yeah.
And the maturity level.
Yeah.
I don't understand how he could. I mean, we don't know the girl. She might be mature for her age, but I still don't think that even matters.
Maybe he's just trying to find somebody who understands him, who loves him for who he is, and not just because he's a specimen of a man.
He's Superman.
He's Superman. My wife, anytime the commercial comes on, like, freezes. It's like she forgets everything and, like, reboots.
Love has no boundaries.
She freezes and stares at Superman.
I freeze and stare at Superman.
Team Ben Affleck. This is like the man's version of Twilight. You realize
yeah,
that?
It is.
It's like Team Jacob, Team Edward. I'm like, Team Affleck. You can be Team Cavill all day long.
Cavill.
Or Cavill, whatever.
Cavill. Team Cavill.
You can be Team Cavill all day long.
Yeah, it's super weird. I don't know. That when I read that this morning, I was
a little freaked out.
I definitely, because I don't know. I don't know Cavill. I don't know him.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
He's an actor, you know? So what is he like in real life? Well, he dates a 19-year-old.
Joey Belleville, who was here with us yesterday, his wife actually ran into this man here in Albuquerque and said he's every bit as lovely in real life as he is on the big screen. He used to date Gina, what's her name? Gina Carano?
Gina Carano.
Gina Carano, whatever. She was just in Deadpool. She used to train out of Albuquerque.
Yeah, and how old is she? She's in her 30s.
Yeah. So, Heidi ran into him on the streets of the Kirky. And, apparently, I guess when you're Henry Cavill, you can just do whatever you want.
Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, man.
That's nothing, man. We have a customer who's 72 and he's dating a 24-year-old.
Nope. Nope.
That's
weird.
That's super weird.
And he has a big turnaround, too. You know, they come in and out, man. So we're waiting for the next one to show up.
So weird, bro.
It's so funny, dude. It's so funny. Hey, and then for your team Aflac, you got to get the Aflac duck in there, man, on your little sound bike.
Can do.
All right.
Team Aflac.
Hey, just to let you know, I love those sound bites when you put in like Tails Laugh and
it's good.
All that.
That's all Dex, man.
And the morning show is better not because of you, Dex. It's just because there's more conversation.
I love it.
Well, thanks, I guess.
All right, man. I love you guys.
Love you too, buddy.
Later.
Pool Boy and Cruises, which, by the way, March 3rd, 4th, 5th. We'll be down there. For the weekend, but really March 4th, that Friday, we're going to be broadcasting live all day in Las Cruces. I'm very excited.
I am too.
I can't remember the last time I spent any amounts of time in Las Cruces. Must have been like Warp Tour.
I think I was probably 3 years ago I was there.
For Warp Tour?
No. Oh. Just passing through.
Oh, okay. Passing through does not count. I mean spending a day. Like Warp Tour, you spent a whole day there, and it was like
tour,
blazing hot.
7 years ago.
When Reliant K and Amberlin and Angels and Airwaves played.
Yeah.
I was there for that one. Because Amberlin played, and I said, Steven, I want to go and not pay. Get me in.
And he was on that year?
Yeah, it was Amberlin and Reliant K. So it was Steven and Ethan. He was still drumming for Reliant K at the time. And I remember being backstage and being like, I got to be the cool friend. I got to not weird out. And then Tom DeLonge came up and started talking to us. And I was like, don't pee.
Oh, geez.
Don't pee.
Come on.
What? Tonight, I totally love Tom DeLonge tonight. I do. I'm a huge fan, dude. I seriously was like, it's cool. Hey, yeah. Nice to meet you.
Oh, man.
Friends with this guy.
Was Steven there when it happened?
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
gosh.
Of course. He didn't walk up to say hi to me.
Okay.
I was talking to Steven and Ethan and all those guys. And it was like, yeah, right? You're so funny, Tom. Okay. I actually didn't say a single word. I just stood there. It was like one time I got to do the Breaking Bad Celebrity Golf Tournament, and Cranston got us on. I love that dude.
Oh,
he was
so
always
awesome.
He's the best dude. Like, so nice. He got us on. We were part of it, and we were playing on a team. And so beforehand, I was hanging out, and I was with Brian, and we were just talking, and then Giancarlo Esposito came up, got to talk to him for a little. Yeah, cool, right? Yeah, nice. And then Sam Jackson walked up.
Oh, wow.
And I just stared. I think I shook his hand and said hi, and then I just continued to stare.
That's pretty
cool.
Because
he was filming The Avengers, yeah. And so they, you know, and I was just like. Wow. There have only a few times where I've actually been starstruck enough to shut my mouth. That was one of them.
Hey, pool boy, if you're listening, this one's for you.
To the Batmobile. Let's go.
Okay. That's when you do it like that. This is ruining.
Yeah, totally fits.
Aflac.
Okay. Not endorsing.
No, Ben Aflac.
Endorse? Is that a word?
There you go.
My words are funny today.
Gosh, we need to shut up and get into our Think About It Thursday.
Okay, fine.
Let's do this.
I was waiting for the theme song. I was like, all right, cool. Oh, wait, we don't have a theme song. Think About It Thursday.
I mean, we could have.
We have
one.
A theme song for everything, Dex.
To the Batmobile.
There it is.
No, this is not the theme song.
Think About It Thursday.
Nope. This is not. Gosh. I do feel like we need Elmo. We got to get Elmo, man. It's okay. Think About It Thursday. You get Elmo in there for, you know, what are you thinking about?
Go for it.
New York City man lost his wallet. We've been there. Those of us who have had things taken from us, you feel violated. You're upset, especially when you lose your wallet, your driver's license, credit cards, you know, cash. Everything is in there. You lose it, especially in a city like New York. He obviously didn't think he would ever see any of that stuff again. Well, pseudo Good Samaritan sort of kind of story. Riley, 28 years old. He was at a Wilco show out in New York. Brooklyn, to be exact, at the King's Theater. He said, I thought everything was gone. So all of a sudden, he receives a letter that was completely unmarked.
Okay.
Inside, there was a note in which the anonymous writer stated this. Dear Riley Flaherty, I found your wallet and your driver's license had your address. So here's your credit cards and other important stuff. I kept the cash because I needed weed.
Oh, no.
The Metro card because, well, the fare's $275 now. And the wallet because it's kind of cool. Enjoy the rest of your day, Anonymous.
Is that for real?
This is the realest of the real, my friend. No one could make this up, and it is my favorite thing I've ever read.
Will you read the letter again?
When I was down in Brooklyn, you had to get a Metro card for the subway. I still carry my Metro card. I love that thing. Someday I'm going to be in Brooklyn, buddy. Can we just do the show in Brooklyn? It is my favorite city on the planet. Dear Riley, I found your wallet, and your driver's license had your address, so here's your credit cards and other important stuff. Number one, I kept the cash because I needed weed. The Metro card because, well, the fare's $275 now. And the wallet because it's kind of cool. Enjoy the rest of your day, Anonymous.
So he sent everything back except the cash and the wallet. And
he sent the driver's license so he wouldn't have to, replace his driver's license. The credit cards.
But he kept the Metro card and the wallet and the cash.
Kept the wallet, kept the cash.
I don't know how I feel about that. I don't think that's okay.
Riley said he found humor in the note. He told the local news it was very clear that this was the work of a specialist. We got this pot-smoking modern-day Robin Hood that's out there.
Oh my
end
gosh.
Quote.
Did he just say that?
That's what he said.
Modern-day Robin Hood?
Modern-day Robin Hood. Pot-smoking modern-day Robin Hood. He said his regret in this whole thing is he only wishes they could have been bros. Quote, the ironic thing is that, we probably could have been good friends. Both like Wilco, because they were at the Wilco show. Both into indie music, same taste in wallets. But he or she tried to take what was of any currency, any value, end quote. After talking to ABC News, he joked about the incident. He described it as a pretty serious scandal. He said he could see this turning into a blockbuster film where Ryan Gosling played his character.
Okay. Stop it right now.
I love this man whose wallet was stolen. That's probably the best attitude you could have. And the person who stole his wallet, it's hilarious. But at the same time, you're like, dang, dude.
Yeah.
Like whenever anything stolen from you, you think about all those things that are taken and you just get super bummed out. Would you want part of it returned?
Well,
would you be stoked that you got, I got my driver's license back and my credit cards?
I guess, getting the credit cards back because then, you don't have to
worry about identity theft.
Well, hopefully he did call anyways after he lost the wallet and canceled his credit cards. So really it's not a big deal if he got his credit cards back because they're canceled already, most likely.
Right.
Your wallet's gone. So then basically that's the only redeeming thing about this is that he got his credit cards back, which are canceled.
Right.
That's it. So,
he got his driver's license back.
But you're out
of Metro card, and here's the thing: with the Metro card, I was only there for a week, and you can instead of paying $275 each time, you can go down there and go, I'll pay for a week, or I'll pay for a month or a year. So you never know what it could be. Like a lot of establishments, my buddy works for Apple out there. They pay for his transportation,
right?
So they buy him a year long Metro card for the whole. I mean. That's like $600 right there. You know what I mean? So, dude was still out some serious cash, depending on what all he had in his wallet.
I guess he's got a good attitude the way he's looking at it.
Oh, yeah. He was hilarious about it. I don't see Gosling playing him in film.
No.
He doesn't look anything like Ryan Gosling.
338-3700. Good morning.
Hey, so that could be like Ryan Gosling. Guy doesn't say anything. He just leaves his wallet. And then James Franco for the pot smoker.
Or Seth Rogen.
Yeah.
Sounds like something Rogen would do. Amazing.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, man. Athelia on Facebook said, I remember when I went to Walgreens in Albuquerque, I was literally in the store for 5 minutes. My car got broken into, took everything, my purse, jacket that I just got for Christmas, and my hookah. She said, which this was years ago, and now I wouldn't want that one back. But to have my jacket and purse would be awesome. I canceled everything, my cards, and months later found out my identity was stolen. It was a nightmare. This was about 7 years ago. You feel like you're totally violated. Ugh.
Yeah, here's a good tip. Just don't leave anything important in your car. How about that?
Yeah, but she was going in. Okay, you go into Walgreens for what, 2 minutes? You got to fill a prescription. You got to, pick something up real quick.
Why is it in your car?
I don't know.
Because it's dirty and you kept it in there and you haven't cleaned it out.
Inconvenient to take your. You know how inconvenient it is to lug a purse around all the time with all your stuff in it? You grab your ID and your debit card and you're in the store.
I don't really keep anything in the car. Yeah. Nothing.
Dude, I could probably live for a week in my car. I've got like three random hoodies because like when it gets hot in the afternoon, I'll pull a hoodie off and throw it in the back seat.
Totally.
And then after about a week, I'm like, I have a whole load of laundry in my back seat. I keep everything in my car. It's the worst.
And here in Albuquerque, it's bad when it comes to crime. When people break into cars, steal cars. We just had a stinking car stole out of the parking lot here at work yesterday.
It was parked like in between our cars.
Yeah, they stole the car. That's unreal. Every day on Facebook, I'm going through the news feed, and I see somebody up, and you guys share this. This is my car. Got stolen today.
Dude, so what would you do? Think about it Thursday. Man loses his wallet, got it this hilarious letter with some of his stuff returned. Would you be stoked? Would you be bummed? Jana said at least they're being honest and didn't put you at risk for identity theft, which is so much worse.
That's true.
She says she'd be relieved and amused like this dude, not saying it's all right. But hey, I'll take some compassion over non-compassion.
All right, a lot of people want to weigh in. We'll get to your phone calls, 338-3700, when we come back.
The Morning Invasion with Dex.
Okay, you're going to shut your car off, okay?
Okay.
Take the keys out of the ignition.
Okay.
You're going to get out of the car.
Steve-O.
You're making an elderly woman walk by herself. I'm out. I'm going to get her.
And Teo.
You see like a miscreant in a hat and glasses with hair that's a little too long, that's Steve-O.
The Morning Invasion with Dex, Steve-O, and Teo.
Hello, everyone. Hello. It's the Morning Invasion. 8:04.
High today of 72 degrees.
Coming up at 9, theologian Pastor Brian Nixon will be joining us.
Getting his theology on.
Mm-hmm.
Smart.
If you guys have any questions, you guys can hit us up at studio@star88.fm. Studio@star88.fm. You can email the show anything you want.
Got some good questions today. 9 o'clock hour, we're going to be talking about the Pope a little bit. We're going to be talking about art, Christianity, and history. Yeah, we got some...
Woo! Good stuff.
We got an interesting one. I'll just tell you the title. I haven't read it yet. Asexuality and demisexuality? Is that like Demi Lovato?
No.
Demi. I am out of the loop.
We'll talk about it. 9 o'clock. studio@star88.fm. And, of course, we'll take your phone calls in the 9 o'clock hour. Feel free. Call in with any sort of question you might have. Maybe it's a biblical question, theological question, something we might have said on the show, maybe you don't agree with, or you know, you just want to make a comment.
Maybe it's like a really deep question like, guys, I only have enough money to buy either tickets to see Gary Clark Jr. or Metric. I love rock and roll, but I also love like great electronic like synthy music. What do I do?
Here's what you do. You find a friend and you play rock, paper, scissors.
Oh.
One of you is Metric. The other one is Gary Clark Jr. Oh. Whoever wins, that's
what you do?
That's it.
Gosh, but like Joy Wave's playing with Metric, you know, and then with Gary Clark Jr., it's like...
You could even do heads or tails. Heads, I'm going to Metric. Tails, I'm going to Gary.
Do you think Baxter would get me tickets?
You know what? You should hit him up.
Can we call him right now?
No. No. Not happening. That ship is sailing.
But I love that guy.
338-3700 is the phone number if you'd like to call in. We're thinking about this guy who lost his wallet.
Yeah, we are.
He lives in New York City, and he lost his wallet. Some guy who found it... Well, he
sort of returned it.
Yeah, he returned the credit cards, but he kept the cash and the Metro card
and the actual wallet.
But he mailed back a note which said...
So Riley gets this letter in the mail, and it said, "Dear Riley, I found your wallet and your driver's license had your address, so here's your credit cards and other important stuff. I kept the cash because I needed weed, the Metro card because, well, the fare's $2.75 now, and the wallet because it's kind of cool. Enjoy the rest of your day. Toodles, Anonymous."
Did it have a... I'm trying to think. Did it have a return address on it?
No, there was. Okay. It was a blank envelope. Okay. There was no return address. Nothing.
That would have been amazing, though, if he actually put a return address.
Oh,
on
man,
it.
Yeah.
338-3700. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Hey, so I must be on the air.
Yes.
Right on. I think that, you know, hey, I'd love to get the whole wallet, everything back, though. It'd be cool. Some guy finally is honest. This is some dude who needed money for weed. And is still willing to send everything back to pay the postage. I thought, right on, that's pretty cool. I would appreciate that.
All right, think about it. You've already canceled your credit cards. I mean, that's what you do when your credit cards
are
stolen.
Dude, trip to the DMV sucks.
We are Christians. It's all going to burn anyway. Let it burn. What the heck?
And you know what? DMV, you don't have to do that anymore. You can actually go online and just order a new driver's license.
Tell that to Teo. Who got his car stolen.
That guy took the time to send that stuff back. Most guys would have thrown it in the trash.
Yep.
It's always not where we're at on the field. It's where we started.
He didn't send anything back except
like
his driver's license.
And his credit cards
that don't work anymore.
You know what? At least he got him back. Okay, one, he gave him a peace of mind that his credit cards weren't going to be used for identity theft. Two, he saved him a trip to the DMV. Yeah, he doesn't have his wallet or his cash or anything, but man, I'd take that all day long.
Yeah, but you know what? The thing is, all those things are about the guy who's receiving the wallet back. The whole story is about the guy who's giving the wallet. He's sitting there thinking, man, I need some money for a weed look, a free Metro pass. You know what? I should send this guy his stuff back. That's where the story is good for us.
There you go, bro. There you go. Okay. I love it. Dude, thank you so much for calling. I love it. Yeah, that's
there's nothing good about this at all. Okay?
Whatever.
There is nothing good about what this guy did. Okay, he stole the wallet,
but he didn't. Technically, let's get all technical here. He didn't steal the wallet.
Yeah, he did.
We don't know that.
What do you
mean?
You're
at a concert. You drop your wallet on the ground. Maybe the dude just saw the wallet on the ground later and picked it up.
Yeah, and then he stole the wallet. He didn't ship the wallet back. He shipped the credit cards that no longer work and his driver's license. Hey, thanks, guy. But you took my cash and
my Metro card.
My Metro card, which probably who knows how much was on there.
And my actual wallet because it's a dope wallet and I got good taste in wallets.
So he took everything except for the things that really didn't matter because the credit cards, even if he didn't cancel them. You could go on there and check to see if he had actually used them, and they'll replace the money.
You know what? A lot of people are agreeing with my sentiment. Matt on Facebook says, you know what? It's better than nothing. Gene says at least the thief saved him a trip to the DMV. Preacher!
You don't have to go to the DMV anymore, people.
Dude, okay. Teo had his car stolen here in Albuquerque. He is the guy that leaves his wallet in the car. Wallet stolen, everything in the wallet gone, lost his wallet. He didn't get anything back. It was a nightmare for him.
Did he have a New Mexico's driver's license?
He did not yet.
See?
He That's still the problem. Had his like Tennessee or Mississippi license. And so, dude, it was Mississippi because it was so backwoods. Like, he had to call and try and verify who he was, but they weren't accepting it over the phone. So he, like, it was this crazy mess just to try and prove that he was who he was so that he could get a new ID.
Yeah.
It was unreal.
I get it. If you have an out-of-state license, then that's going to be an
New
issue.
New York. You don't know. What if the guy just moved there? I mean, he saved him.
Most likely, the guy is from New York. All he's got to do is jump online and, you know, order a new card, and they'll ship it to you.
I wish you could just be optimistic and glass half full. Why are you such a pessimist?
There's nothing good about this story.
The worst.
The guy used the money for weed, too. He's using it for drugs.
At least.
I mean, so you should throw that in the mix.
At least there was some
makes
honesty
it even worse.
In there. You know, he was honest about his downfall.
Hey, man, I got a drug addiction. I totally used the money for drugs.
Yeah,
but here's your credit
card.
Thank
you for contributing to my addiction. Yeah, that's true.
338-3700, good morning.
Yeah, first off, I do want to say that it definitely was theft. I mean,
thank you.
If the logic was like, oh, it's a wallet on the ground, I think I'll just take it. It's a gift.
You guys don't do that? You guys don't?
Like,
no.
If Taylor's car was parked at the grocery store And someone was like, oh, cool, just a car sitting here. And the person came back, and he was like, oh, well, finders, keepers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, were the keys in the car? I'm just kidding.
Or
people are going to start taking me
seriously. Or somebody takes Teo's car and then ships him back the seat covers or the floor mats.
Dude, if somebody shipped back half the stuff that was in his car that he was missing, I bet you he would have been stoked.
But I do think the guy really, really did the wallet owner a solid. I mean, maybe the wallet was worn out. Maybe it just, maybe he liked wallets that way.
Yeah.
And there was also other important stuff that was in the note, right?
Yeah, so, it said other important things.
There could have been insurance card. There could have been Dick's Sporting Goods.
Yeah.
Who knows?
You seriously, you're right. You're right.
Yeah, you're not right, sir.
You're like, he's got his like Jimmy John's footlong thing where it's like, dude, I had 7 punches on this. I only needed like 2 more.
There could have totally been like an ice cream shop punch card.
I have a feeling, though, since the guy kept all the cash for weed, if there was a Jimmy John's footlong card, he probably would have kept it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So.
Thanks, buddy.
Gosh.
I don't know.
You know what?
It's
most people
theft,
are
no
happy
what.
They'd get something back,
no,
though.
No, well, okay. It's humorous. It's funny. He got a letter that was pretty funny. I get that. So it lightens things up. But at the same time, when you really boil things down, the guy stole... He stole his wallet.
The real hero in the story is Riley, whose wallet was stolen, who, when he was on the news, was talking like it was going to be this Ryan Gosling film. And like, he just took the high road and was so cool about it. You know?
We'd be best friends.
We'd be bros. Too bad he's a thief, he or she. Because it could have been a chick, bro. We don't know.
Good morning.
Okay, so my car was broken into when I was at my second job like 2 weeks ago. My wallet was in the middle console. My work bag, my textbooks, and $30,000 in chemo medication. And if I would have got just one of them back, I would have been happy.
Are you kidding?
Oh, my gosh.
So,
that's awful.
That's terrible.
Yeah, so I would have been okay with either getting the medication or the wallet, but, like, I didn't get anything back, and it was just a pain. And it took, and they broke 2 of my windows, so it cost me money.
No way.
See?
Yeah, so.
Gosh.
Anything back is better than nothing.
Dude.
Thank you.
Right? Positive right there. That is the worst.
Good morning.
Buenos dias.
Hola. Buenos dias, sir.
¿Cómo está?
Muy bien.
Huh.
De nada.
Nope.
This is little puppet from ESPA. Just kidding.
It's Hans.
It's Hans.
Hans, you're my favorite caller from Mexico because your name's Hans. Like, I feel like you should have this German accent, but you really don't.
Yeah. Franz, I'm Hans. Franz?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Somebody told me because my name is German and I'm from Mexico, I should be Wiener Schnitzel.
No, man, you're Germexican.
You're Mexican. So because
of
that,
own it.
So because of that, there was this time in 08 that I was on the bus, and I've always had a chain wallet. People think it's like a fashion statement, rocker or whatever.
Right.
But it's really security, so I don't lose my wallet. And there was this dude that kept staring at me when we got off the bus, and I was on my way to church to practice, and when I stopped by the gas station to buy a Sobe or something. Remember Sobeys?
Anyway, oh, my gosh.
and
you tell stories like me.
I didn't have my wallet. What was that?
You tell stories like
Squirrel!
Me. You get like 3
Squirrel!
Seconds in, you're like, Sobe, yeah.
Squirrel!
And then the lid said, never mind.
So be yourself. Anyway.
Anyways,
chain wallet,
I realized my
bro!
Wallet wasn't there.
What,
I had recently gone
wallet?
To Mexico, so my alien resident card was in it.
Oh man,
and my social security card was in it.
Oh, you got deported.
And I had recently gotten paid, so there was over $200 in there.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, there was cash in there.
That's awful.
It's horrible.
So I went back, ran. Of course, the bus was gone, and I got on the second bus trying to contact that bus. So I spent like 2 hours. And then I realized when I walked off, this other dude, sketchy, kept like crossing the street towards that McDonald's because it was off a course, off the freeway, and there's a McDonald's right there. And he was going that way, and I was going the other way. And this guy was like looking back at me, and I'm like, maybe it's a McDonald's. I went over in the bathroom trash. I found my wallet, empty, of course. And you know what? I would have been really happy if my, my alien resident card and my social security card were in there.
That sucks.
Even though I lost over $200.
Right.
But I'm like, if only.
Yeah, I totally get it. If you got something really important like that back, but this guy didn't get anything important back. He got his already canceled credit cards back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And his driver's license. Right.
And a saved trip to the DMV.
So I can understand why you'd be pumped if at least you got, you know, that back. But
yeah.
Sure.
Bueno.
Sorry. All
right. Love you guys.
Love you too, man. Hasta, bro. Ugh. Vaya con Dios, mi amigo.
I used to totally rock the chain wallet.
Dude, can we bring it back?
I know. Joey was rocking
it. Joey still rocks it.
And he can rock it.
He can.
He's a true rock star. And you are too. But I can't. I'm not a rock star.
What? You can rock it? Why can't you rock a
chain
wallet?
Because it's not the early 2000s anymore, Steve-O.
But I don't even want it to be the early 2000s. I'll take 95. How's that? Can we go back to 95?
Yeah.
I don't even miss high school or care about that time period in my life. I just loved that era. The music was great. My skunk Jinkos were on point.
Not a fan.
Come on, bro.
No.
Jinkos and chain wallets.
No.
What if I show up tomorrow wearing Jinkos and chain wallets and some cool Adidas kicks because I can't wear my boots with Jinkos? Gonna need some duct tape so that I can stick the back of my pants to my shoes so that I don't walk on them.
Okay.
Come on, bro. Right. Jinkos, chain wallets.
No.
No one would ever steal a wallet in Jinkos because they'd have to swim in your pants to find it.
Stop it.
The holes, like, my pockets were so deep, I could fit humans in them. Come on. Full packages of Oreos were like the constant norm in my Jinkos. Just saying. Oh, you want some Pringles? Here, I have three rolls in my Jinkos. Please?
We're talking about this guy who lost his wallet. In New York. And he didn't get it back. He pretty much didn't get anything back.
Here's the deal, bro.
He
got his wallet. Or he didn't get his wallet. He got his driver's license. He got credit cards. Jana says, at least they're being honest and didn't put you at risk for identity theft, which is so much worse. Mm. Personally, I'd be relieved and amused, not saying any of it's right. But hey, I'll take some compassion over none. Rachel says, considering it probably cost Anonymous $8 to use the postal service and mail the items to him, fair trade. He didn't steal the wallet. I personally would return everything, cash and all. Not everyone thinks like me, though. By the way, her name is Rachel Cable Smith, and Cable is my favorite superhero ever of all time. That's the coolest. Mm. That's a side note. I just Hans the story.
You did.
I just Jermexicaned the story. He's my favorite.
Oh, my gosh.
Venus says, I'd be happy to get something back. Of course, had I been the finder, I would have returned the whole thing. I might be bugged at the guy for not returning at all. Yeah, there's some of that where you're like, dude, come on.
Yeah.
Come on. I loved my Quicksilver wallet. I love my Mossimo wallet with my chain on it. Remember Mossimo?
Oh, I used to rock
Stussy,
Mossimo.
Stussy, bro. My Stussy wallet with my chain that I got from PacSun before it was called PacSun.
Yep.
Now they actually shortened it. It's really just called PacSun. Back in my day, you had to call it Pacific Sunwear.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, I think we're done with this topic.
How do we derail so quickly? Sorry, that's always me.
That's always me. That's all right.
Just a random 90s mention here and there.
Hey, speaking of, you're on Facebook. Any comments on the T-Rex riding the horse?
Yes. Matt says, majestic.
It is majestic.
I'm a little bummed because so far there's only like 8 people that have liked it, so that means not a lot of people have checked it out. Most people are commenting on there. I haven't even read half the comments on the wallet story, so.
Yeah, if you want to check out a T-Rex... A guy in a T-Rex costume riding a horse. It is the greatest thing you'll see.
It's FYI, awesome. While you're there, make sure you like us. We've got 46 new likes already.
Good.
In our conversations.
Facebook.com/Star88FM.
Yeah!
Go like us on Facebook. Share the page.
Yeah.
Share the page with your friends.
Yeah. We do great things on here, like T-Rexes riding horses and stuff.
Yeah, we do. All right, when we come back, a woman bit a Wendy's manager. You're asking why. Why did she bite a Wendy's manager?
Because her Frosty was melting.
Well, you might be right.
Really?
Well, I don't know.
Okay.
Also, a guy used a James Bond smokescreen to escape the cops. This is real life, people.
Really? Like he Batmaned the situation?
He Batmaned that situation.
He Afflecked it. That's awesome.
Think about it. Thursday, Brian Nixon will be joining us at 9. We're asking for those phone calls. Email studio@star88.fm. We'll be back.
It's time for the morning. Morning Invasion. Here's Dex, Steve-O, and Teo on Star 88.
Let's get on with the show!
I may have some news for you.
Big news.
Stand by.
Donald Trump's popularity among Republicans has never been higher. He leads Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz by more than 2-1.
Apple is refusing a government court order to unlock an iPhone used by one of the San Bernardino shooters.
America, meet your newest gazillionaires.
Lost a lot of sleep. I lost over 10 pounds.
Maureen and David bought a winning Powerball ticket in Florida and share the largest jackpot. They're taking home $327 million.
The U.S. flew 4 F-22 fighter jets over South Korea.
There's been a large explosion in the Turkish capital,
The National Safety Council estimated that more than 38,000 people were killed in traffic crashes in the U.S.
Several suspected tornadoes, Florida and North Carolina.
30,000 people gathered Sun Bowl Stadium in El Paso, Texas, to watch Pope Francis hold a large outdoor mass just across the border in Mexico.
Survey says Americans are retiring early, not because we want to, but because health and job issues are forcing us to.
See somebody drop something. What do you do? What do you do? Steve-O.
Man, rush over and say, excuse me! I feel like that would be my response.
Yeah, you see somebody drop their wallet, their phone, something.
Yeah.
You help them out.
Yeah.
A lot of you out there don't do that.
We've been talking about this wallet that was stolen, or at least lost at a concert. Person who found it returned some of the items, and Brian emailed us studio@star88.fm, by the way, if you'd like to hang out with us. He sent us a video called Dropping the Phone in Public, a social experiment, and we've been watching it, and what the crap, bro? Not everybody's honest.
Right?
He had an iPhone that had a like Wells Fargo debit card and some cash tucked in there on the back of it. And he would purposely, you know, pretend like he was on the phone, hang up at, like he's putting it in his back pocket and drop it in front of somebody and walk. And we're about halfway through. So far, six people had returned it to him. But a couple people like looked at it, flipped it around, saw the debit card thing, and then just slid it into their pocket.
Yeah.
It's like, wow!
It's crazy.
It's insane. It was a dummy phone that was being dropped, but he wanted to add a value to it. So he had an inactive Wells Fargo Visa card and $10 cash in there. So, yeah.
That's really good. Social experiment.
Yeah.
Some of you are failing.
Yeah.
Got to do the right thing.
Yeah.
And we were talking about the guy who wanted to, he finds wallet. And decides, well, I need the cash because I need to buy some weed.
No, that's real.
But I'll just send back his driver's license and his credit cards that are already canceled. I'll just mail them with a nice little letter that said, thanks for the wallet.
Yeah.
Thanks for the money because I needed some weed. That's not okay. That's still stealing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, but it's still stealing.
Yeah. Dude, I'm posting this video. Shout out to Brian for sending us this video. Yeah. What would you do, man? Dropping the phone in public. It's going public on our Facebook page.
Let's call Teo. We get Teo on the phone?
Yeah, can do. What if he's calling us right now on line one?
Maybe it is him.
I mean, should we check? That's definitely not him.
Colin Mateo, who's out on tour with House of Heroes right now. He'll be back on Monday.
Come on, Mississippi. Mississippi, don't you reckon it's time?
Okay.
Get the flag king.
For you, Tail.
The world turn around. Can't move ahead if we're looking behind. Wanna know if you're with me?
Hello.
Yeah!
Hello.
Hey, man!
Hello.
Hey!
Steve-O, you sound like you're a long ways away.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think there's something up with your microphone this morning.
My microphone doesn't get into the telephone?
No, it sounds like I'm only hearing you over Dex's.
What about now?
No, I'm sorry.
Dang!
I'll just talk. Steve-O, you be quiet.
Oh.
Hey, Tao.
Hey.
Here, come over to this mic. Steve-O?
No.
Yeah, try my mic.
Steve-O just went on reading emails.
He's fine. I'll just read emails.
That's funny.
That's cool.
What are you doing, buddy?
I'm in Abilene, Texas.
Abilene, Texas.
Yeah! My home country!
Yeah.
Yeah, man, your home country is pretty bleak.
Yeah, no kidding. Seriously, nothing there, right?
No, there's nothing here.
This is why I live in New Mexico now.
Totally. Yeah. Huge upgrade.
Yeah. Hey, I like it here.
So earlier, here's something that happens, I've found, that when I am not in town, all of my friends, even though they know I'm not there, they still talk to me about whatever it is you guys are talking about.
Amazing.
So, coming from my side of it, I would say, and I don't know if you guys have already moved on.
No, we're still talking about it.
But, man, I wish they would just not give anything back.
Really?
I wish that, yeah. You remember when the car got stolen?
This is exactly what I was talking about. But see, for me, what I was saying was, for you, when your car was stolen, the biggest hassle of the whole, well, maybe not the biggest, one of the biggest hassles was the fact that they took your wallet, which had your Mississippi driver's license, and the crap you went through to try and get your ID. So imagine if, like, all they sent you back was your driver's license. I feel like that would have saved you so much heartache from, like, calling Backwoods, Mississippi and going, like, hey, I'm me. I need an ID.
Yeah, well, maybe so. It actually worked out pretty good, because the way I got it back was you can just get a copy printed.
Yeah.
And so that was more on me for not knowing the process.
Yeah, you can actually jump online and actually just order a new one.
Man.
No. Not on Mississippi.
Okay. Yeah.
There's nothing online.
Trust me.
I still had to call people. But yeah. But honestly, no, I'd rather nothing come back. Because just taking the car as the example, I mean, it halfway came back, and that was bigger than it just completely disappearing.
Yeah.
Because now credit card companies and stuff are so quick to cancel.
Yeah.
You know, you have like 1 or 2 days of hassle.
That's what I'm saying.
As opposed to getting half of it back and then be like, well, I lost all my cash and I'm screwed now.
And then,
you know,
my credit cards
like
are
that.
Already canceled, so I can't use them. So the only thing he got back was his driver's license.
Yeah.
Well, it said
which is kind of good, but that's like the one saving grace.
Yeah.
You know, at that point, you might as well just not get any of it back. Because then you have to, it's like this weird thing of not so much that it's violated, but it's kind of violated because that's your stuff and it's all gone. Somebody else had it.
Speaking
of, not to mention, what else was in there? Because it says in the little letter, other personal items.
Yeah.
Or was it like family photos? What else did that guy keep?
See, that,
you know,
that
security number.
Kind of like, yeah, it's like, just keep all of it. I don't want to know what you did and did not keep or have mystery there or whatever. Just keep it.
Hmm. Yeah.
By the way, a listener chiming in right now, shout out to Mitch and Alyssa who are listening at the doctor's office. They said, speaking from experience, if your license gets stolen in New Mexico, you cannot just go online and get a new one. You actually have to go into the MVD and get a whole new license and license number.
So that's
everything.
Only when it expires?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's stolen, bro. It's gone. Gone. Yeah.
Yeah, you'd still have to go get a new one, but I don't know. It just seems like even just getting your license back, I think in the moment I wouldn't even care about that. I'd be like, why didn't they just take the license?
Yeah. No, you know? Dude. I thought it was great. Okay, speaking of being violated.
No.
Have you seen this new petition for Saturday Night Live, my friend?
Yeah, I don't think it's a good idea.
What? Why not?
I read about it this morning. I don't, you know what? I think the more and more I think about it, I just don't really care about Deadpool.
You wow. need, this is the sadness. I was dying to talk to one person after I saw that, that really vulgar, terrible film. The saving grace was like, at least I get to talk to my one. We're the two best friends and we share everything and comics and life and love.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, I can't wait for you to see Deadpool. And he said, I already saw it. And I'm like, oh, but you didn't make a big deal out of it or anything. And he wasn't super into it. And I got sad because then I was like, I have no one to share this horrible experience with.
You shared it with me.
Yeah, I mean, kind of. I saw it with you.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I told Steve-O, for those of you who don't read comics, you're not gonna relate to this, but every year, most comic books out a thing called an annual,
mm-hmm.
and it's just like one story that it's just a usually
totally
it might
standalone.
Tie in a little bit to a main plot line, but it's just one random story they throw out. They do it once a year, and that's what that movie felt like. It just felt like it was, this is a Deadpool movie, and that's it. I guess I'm kind of spoiled by Marvel, because Marvel is like always raising the stakes, and this movie has to happen because of this, and it connects to this, and blah blah blah.
But it was just kind of like, well, that was a Deadpool movie. And it showed a preview for this horrible movie called The Purge coming out before I saw it. And I hate those movies.
Dude.
So I think that kind of put a
that
bummer
one
on it.
And that first-person shooter movie, did you get a trailer for that?
Yeah,
I wanted
that
to throw
about?
Up.
How is that ever going to be a good idea?
I couldn't watch an entire movie. Like Dex, seriously, I thought at one point was going
to
hurl off me.
I looked at Steve, I was like, I don't think
he just
I'm
couldn't watch
it.
A trailer anymore. It was bad. Ugh.
That's when you know way too many people are playing Call of Duty, and now they're making movies from that
making
point
movies.
Of view.
Yeah, mm-hmm. There we go. I after
it's
we
terrible.
Saw the movie, I went back and watched Winter Soldier, which to me is the standard now. And it is Winter Soldier is still the greatest comic book movie of all time.
I agree.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's ways to do movies that stand alone. I mean, you look at Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yep.
That's pretty much a completely standalone thing, but it had some connective tissue, you know, to other things.
It started principal photography. They're filming right now.
Now that I'm excited about.
Also excited for Kurt Russell is probably his pops.
Yep.
We talked about that this morning.
So Teo, what's been going on? How's the tour going?
It's going good. Yesterday was a long travel day. I actually got to hang out with Dawn for her birthday on Tuesday night.
Yeah.
When we hung out at Steve-O's house.
Happy birthday,
Don't
Dawn.
Say that. Don't say that. I felt really
and
bad.
He said, I didn't want to invite Dex.
No, don't say that.
And he said, I didn't want to because he's smelly.
We were leaving the gym on Tuesday, and I'm like, man, we got to go. We got to get home because House of Heroes and Teo and Dawn and Bill were all celebrating Dawn's birthday. I'm saying this to Dex and Leslie. And Leslie looks at me and she goes, I mean, I guess we didn't want to go anyways. Just tell Dawn I said happy birthday.
Yeah, that's what happened. We get in the car, and we're like, so glad they invited us.
Yeah.
But that's cool.
I mean, you know.
Guess we're not really officially part of the family yet.
Right.
Would it have
to
be here a year at least?
It was for Matt. It was Matt and Dawn for Dawn's birthday. It's only our really close friends like House of Heroes who we need to see.
We were supposed to go out to dinner, and then she said she wanted to just hang out with everybody, and then me and her go out to dinner whenever I got home, and we could actually not have to rush around.
Yeah,
so it
wasn't even pre-planned. It was totally
at
the gym I was getting texts. It wasn't planned at all.
That's cool, man. It's all good.
It wasn't planned other than him going, I don't want to invite Dex.
Stop it! That's not how it went! That's not how it went. I wanted to invite Dex and Leslie. I just didn't want Caleb to break something else.
What?
I just, you know... It was Dawn's birthday.
It would have been Leslie and I coming.
Nobody got time. Oh, you guys should have come then.
We would have left
the kids
at home.
You didn't have your kids? That's the rule. You have to tell me if you have your kids so I can pretend like you're not invited.
Unreal.
I had no idea.
Unreal.
No,
how does one go about that?
None of that happened.
That's not real. None of that's real.
I know.
None of that's real.
It was all real. It's all good.
You guys be sweet to each other.
Hey, Teo, another thing, we've been going to CrossFit. I did 2 days this week so far, and we're going for a third
today.
This will be our third today.
I'm so proud of you guys.
See, we're doing it.
That's good.
Can't wait for you to get back, though, dude.
I feel better. I feel like my clothes are getting a little bit looser.
That's good.
A little.
You sound a lot skinnier, both of you.
Okay. That's good. I was hoping for that.
You sound skinnier and musclier, respectively.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I don't want to sound skinnier. Amazing.
That's funny.
We miss you, buddy.
Guys, listen, you got to step it up. I'm getting texts, people saying you've got to come home.
I know.
Oh, man. Back Monday?
We got extended for a couple weeks.
What?
So,
no!
It's going to be...
Liar!
Probably like a month.
Okay. Have fun, man.
A lot of fun.
I'm so proud of you. Doing good things.
That's not real.
We're playing in Waco tonight, and then Houston and Dallas, and then I'll be back Monday.
Oh yeah! All right,
Mississippi.
Woo. Have fun.
All right,
buddy. See you, buddy.
Bye.
Miss him.
Came over ahead if we're looking behind. Wanna know if you're with me? Cause I come from a long, long line. Liberable stream. Mississippi, don't you reckon it's time?
Mateo's theme song.
I don't have a theme song.
Well, you don't invite me to parties.
You know, I wanted to, but it's like one of those things where...
Yeah, I get it.
You know, the plan was like Matt and Dawn, and the next thing you know, it's Matt and Dawn and House of Heroes, and I'm like, that's already a lot of people. Dex has 17 kids.
I would have bought the tacos.
Just, you know... Yeah.
It's all good, though, man.
Sorry, man.
Good morning.
Good morning. How's it going?
Good, man.
So I was calling about the wallet story?
Yeah.
When I was in high school, I had my backpack stolen out of my car. So I had all my textbooks in it, and then, like, they stole a bunch of my CDs and then, like, $5 in change that I had in there. So I was pretty bummed out because I had to pay for all my textbooks. And the school's like, if they ever get returned, then just bring them back in and we'll reimburse you for them. And so about 2 months later, in a town that was like 10, 15 miles away, they found them in a trash can at the cemetery. So they called me like, hey, this is your stuff. And so I was like super pumped. I went out to get it, and whoever stole all the stuff deeply scratched every single CD and then colored on like every single page of the textbook. So I was like, seriously? So you should have at least looked at them before you called me, because this was a waste of time.
Wow.
It would have been much better just think that they never existed ever.
Here's what you can think about, all right? All of your stuff was found at a cemetery, so they went out and they wrecked all your CDs and your textbooks and then died. And so they're dead, man, for doing that to you. So feel better. They're dead.
All right.
No.
Yeah. No?
No.
Okay. Well, I'm trying to make him feel better, man. Glass half full, bro.
All right, let's move on to some more headlines. Let's finish out these headlines because we have Think About It Thursday with Brian Nixon coming up next.
All right, getting through these headlines from a boy, Teo. Local wrestler drew inspiration from Holly Holm. 14-year-old Rio Rancho girl says Holly has inspired her to do some unbelievable things. She wrestles for a club in Rio Rancho. 8th grade girl competes solely against boys.
Never think that you can't do it. Like, even if boys say you can't do it or people say you can't do it and put you down, just know that, like, you can do it in your heart if you have the will.
That's what I'm talking about right there. Local girl, she's wrestling with the boys. She has a dream that she's going to be in the UFC someday, and she's inspired by Holly Holm.
Dude, she said some way in 10 pounds more than her, she still beats them.
Yeah!
She said she almost quit the sport she loves last year after losing every single match in the season, but she wanted to one day be a UFC fighter. An Albuquerque native, Holly Holm's fame got her back on track. Booyah!
Man, my son, he plays basketball, and sometimes you'll see a girl out there playing with the boys, and the girl is just dominating.
Yeah.
Just taking out the boys left and right. 3-point shot, dunking on the kids.
That's why I can't stand when people say, you hit like a girl, or you throw like a girl. And I'm like, dude, there's some incredible athletes out there that you are just destroying. Way to go. 1992 called, you're still sexist. Just saying. Stop it.
Yeah.
Anyways, there's a shady incident in Sylvester Stallone's past before he made Rocky and became famous. He used to work at a place called the Dover Deli in Manhattan, and at a Grammy party last Sunday, he ran into the son of the guy who owned it. Check this. Apparently, the guy asked Stallone if he remembered him. Stallone said, "How can I forget? I was arrested at your bleeping restaurant." According to the New York Post, Stallone was actually handcuffed for throwing a chicken at a customer's face.
No way.
It's not clear where the Post got its information. They didn't elaborate. Oh, wow. Stallone's rep did not comment. However, you know, he made it clear that, he was arrested there. So he could have thrown a chicken at someone. We all have those instances we'd like to forget for the rest of our lives.
I've never thrown a chicken at someone's face.
I did, however, almost get fired once because I was working at a video game store that shall remain nameless, rhymes with GameStop. And I was a manager on duty, and it was right when the PS2, I think the PS2 came out. It was the PS2. And this guy's like, hey, man, you know, they were up high. Can I see one? Just went, the specs and the blah and the this and blah. And I'm like, yeah, man, sure. I'm all amped. It's a brand. Dude, PS2, it's so big. And pull it down. And the guy's looking at it. And he's kind of like, and there's another customer. And he goes, I'm just going to. And he takes a step back to look at it because this other customer wanted to pay for something. And I'm like, oh, yeah, this seems normal and legit. And then he grabs it and runs out the door.
No way. What did you do? Did you run after him?
Well, the rule is like you cannot leave the store. You cannot step off the curb. You know what I mean? There. I mean.
Yeah, because most businesses, you're not allowed to run after the criminal.
Absolutely not.
So what did you do?
So in that moment. Never surrender. I jumped the counter and booked it.
You did?
This was
you ran after him?
This was the GameStop up on like Eubank and I-40, right?
Yeah.
So there's like that Sam's or whatever's up there, that big Walmart
thing. Yeah, I used to live right next to that.
Okay, yeah. That's where I worked for years. Dude, guys like running through the parking lot not looking back. So I'm like, I'm running low to the ground in between cars. So he gets to this minivan, no joke, minivan, and it was like a movie. Dude's got the PS2 and he's running, and he gets to the van and he's like fumbling, drops the keys on the ground, goes to pick him up, and stands back up as I spear him right through the stomach!
Seriously?
Yeah.
You took him out?
I speared him into the concrete. Grabbed the PS2, pushed it back, and I'm not even being funny. I had so much adrenaline going at the time. I said, "Your move, my friend." I'm not even joking. This really happened.
Oh my gosh, I still
have scars on my knuckles because when I wrapped him up, my hands went straight into the concrete.
Wow.
I've never been like a super like fighty, like, yeah, man, tough guy.
Yeah.
My adrenaline was in overdrive.
So what happened?
He looked at the PS2, he looked at his minivan, and he just booked.
Yeah.
Like, he left, he ran off. And so I took the PS2 back in the store, and I was like, woo!
Steve!
I did it! I'm so excited! And I called the cops, and they're like scoping out the minivan, waiting for his return.
Yeah.
And the district manager called, and I'm like telling the story, and I'm like, this happened! And I got destroyed with words.
Oh, no way. They didn't
got fired.
No way.
Yeah. Written up, like,
wait,
hey,
you did what?
If you ever do that again, you will be fired. Like, nobody was stoked, but I was like, but I got the PS2 back. It's mostly in good condition because when I speared the guy, it flew up in the air and landed on the concrete. Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Hopefully it still mostly works.
Yeah, you know what, Steve-O, you should never do that again.
No, yeah, I was an idiot.
Yeah,
are you kidding me?
What if the guy had a gun?
Exactly.
What if he had a knife? What if he knew kung fu?
That's true. He didn't know any of that. He looks... Yeah, never mind. Here's the deal. It's not like a cool, like, I'm awesome story. It's a, hey, the guy was like 90 pounds soaking wet and probably needed that for drug money.
So
you know what I mean?
You.
So I was like, I could take him.
You are too, though.
So I just didn't have a second thought. I'm like, I'm getting him. Yeah. Hindsight. Of course, that was many, many, many moons ago. So,
yeah,
you know.
That's a really funny story.
Almost lost my job.
That was really
my
good.
My favorite was the cops just like scoping out this minivan waiting for him to return.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
Yeah.
Good morning.
That was the best story ever.
Thank you. Thank you.
Steve-O, you should have gotten promoted.
I was like super into the WWE, so I was like, Edge spear into his chest.
Yeah.
Just flew at him and speared him.
Yeah, a lot of places, there's zero tolerance for that. Like, I know at certain grocery stores, if you do that, if you run after...
Yeah. You'll be fired.
Yeah, you're out of here.
When I worked at Apple, people would snag stuff all day long, and you just have to stare at them and go, that sucks.
Well, hey, I was going to – have you guys seen that social experiment where it's on YouTube where people – they put a mountain bike out?
I haven't seen that
one. You
mean
cops? Because cops do that all the time. They'll put out a $5,000 mountain bike, and then it's called a bait bike, and then they try to get people to steal it.
A bait bike.
Well, I don't know if it's the same thing you're talking about, but these guys stick it out and they tie it. The one I saw, they tie it to a tree. And then
it's messed up, bro.
The second one I saw, they put it's kind of messed up, the second guys, but then they put, they strap an airbag to the seat. So when the guys take off with it, they're all, hey, that's my bike. And the guys start taking off and they ignite the airbag and the guys fall on the ground holding their butt.
Oh, man, you gotta send that video to our Facebook page so you can watch it.
Yeah, well. And then the second time they do it, they attach like a shock sensor to the seat.
So wow. I got to see that.
Funny.
That's pretty good, man.
Yeah, I'll see you guys.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
No problem. Guys.
Thanks for the phone calls, everyone.
Finally, in the new dude, James Gunn posted the first photo from Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Baby Groot sitting on Drax's shoulder.
I am Groot.
Oh, gosh. I can't wait.
So excited. All right. When we come back, Brian Nixon joining us. Think about it Thursday.
We're going to talk about serious things.
That's right.
Yeah.
Morning Invasion with Dex.
I'm telling you right now, we are healthy. We are attractive.
Good looking.
We have a very successful
Cam
radio show.
Cam said it.
Yeah, I did get fired like 7 months ago, but whatever.
But I mean, come on.
Steve-O.
Actually, it's currently 32 degrees, so I apologize.
Okay.
It was 28 degrees overnight, 61 now, according to my updated app. Partly cloudy, mostly sunny.
and Teo.
There's no reason there couldn't be a few other people that have a friend named Steve-O, cat named Beans, and then another animal never identified as a cat named Panda.
The Morning Invasion with Dex, Steve-O, and Teo.
Hello, everyone. Good morning.
Good
Dex,
morning.
Steve-O, and Brian Nixon are joining you right now live on The Morning Invasion.
It's great to be here, Dex. Great to be here, Steve-O.
Good to see you, Brian. What you been up to, buddy?
Well, I've been doing education, you know, things, and I have been doing some writing and some, you know, other fun stuff like that. But this is really where it's fun.
When I get
to hang out with Dex and Steve-O without Mateo and Steven, okay. it's that much more fun.
It is, because it's just us, you know?
It's just
it's
us.
It's not crowded in here, you know?
And we could just talk and hang out and listen to questions and our callers who have... And, you know, let me just say, the past 3-4 weeks, we've had some great interaction with our callers. So if you're out there listening, please give us a ring. Some great questions the past few weeks.
338-3700. Phone lines are open, wide open, if you'd like to call in. Any question you have... Could be something out of the Bible you don't understand. Could be something theological.
Yeah.
Very heavy, deep.
Yeah.
We've gotten a ton of great questions. I know you guys have over the years. I have over the, you know, just the past month. Can you believe it's been a month already?
I know. It's been a month. Happy month day.
Thank you. Yeah. Month anniversary.
Happy month day.
Man.
That's like birthday, but you do it by the month, Steve-O.
Beanix, my first question to you is a two-parter. It's very important.
Yes.
One, have you signed the Deadpool petition to host Saturday Night Live? And if not, why not?
Uh-oh. Okay. Strike me down, Steve-O. I don't know what the Deadpool thing is.
You gotta go.
It's probably a good thing that you don't know.
Well, what's the petition? What are we?
People are seriously signing this petition because there's this.
I know the
Marvel
movie
character, yeah.
But I didn't know about a petition.
The actor, not Ryan Reynolds. They don't want Ryan Reynolds hosting Saturday Night Live. There's an actual petition out there that is trying to get Deadpool, the character, to host Saturday Night Live.
I see.
Because this character
like
breaks the fourth wall. He's crazy.
Okay.
So there's an actual petition out there.
I would sign that. Why not?
Oh, okay. Cool.
Have you seen the movie?
No.
You should probably look into that first.
No.
Oh, okay.
No. Yeah. Think 300, except a dude in a red and black.
No, like, a lot worse than 300.
Really?
Think
of The Hangover and 300 had a baby.
This should have been NC-17.
Okay. Let me just do some confession here. I haven't seen 300.
Oh,
I haven't seen The Hangover.
You know what?
So
no,
all these
good.
Illusions are completely like they're just going over my head.
I can't even think of movies that you might have seen that. You're a Puritan.
No, I'm not a Puritan, but let's see. The last movie I went to see was The Revenant. Was it like The Revenant?
Oh, I haven't seen it.
That's what I saw.
I heard it was
incredible.
It was good. Yeah. It was good. I mean, you know, I little violent, but it was good.
How was the grizzly bear scene?
The grizzly bear scene was awesome. It was cool. And honestly, Leonardo, he
amazing.
He did a great job.
He always does.
And I think he should win.
I hope so.
But you never know.
You know what? Even
we'll know next week.
Everyone's coming out of the woodwork in support of Leonardo DiCaprio. I read an article this morning about how Leo and his girl Kate Winslet are still like besties, and she's like stumping for Leo right now to win this Oscar, even though she's in the Steve Jobs film with Michael Fassbender, who's nominated against him. She's still like pushing for Leo. Yeah.
Sure. Because, you know, he's one of those actors that has really proven himself on the screen and should be recognized.
I think
for
it's
it.
Really because like she still can't get over the fact that she promised him she'd never let go and then she let go.
She let go.
So she's probably
in Titanic,
just still feeling that guilt, that shame.
Yep.
That she wasn't a woman of her word. The shame
of the artists. Mm. Hey, speaking of artists, we have a question about art.
Well, we got a bunch of emails.
Yeah.
We're going to get into the first one here, but someone's on line one.
Okay.
Oh. Let's go to that person first. Hello.
I'd like to ask how old Steve-O is.
Oh, my gosh.
Aaron Buck Burnett.
Hey, Buck.
My old co-host.
Steve-O, how old are you?
29.
No, that's okay. That's a lie, Buck.
That's not true.
Plus 8.
Pardon me?
I said 29 plus 8.
Okay. You're not allowed to say besties.
What?
Let's reserve that for 19-year-olds.
Come on, man.
No.
Dude, Buck. Buck.
That's not okay.
We can't be totes besties. Come on.
No.
I think it'd be it'd be absolutely adorbs if you and I kicked it.
I have the
like
goosies
besties,
right now. I have goosies.
Rocked a movie, you know?
You guys are killing me.
Come on, man. Come on.
But you're so cool, man.
Totes
I wish
adorbs.
I could be cool like you.
Totes adorbs.
I'm not trying to be cool. I'm trying to be a 40-something-year-old man.
A 40-something-year-old man that goes by Buck.
I'm trying to be a 30-something-year-old man.
You can't do that and call in and be like, hey, I'm a 40-something-year-old. My name's Buck. No, it's not.
And you're clogging up the phone lines. This is a serious show right now.
Just a serious...
I actually called with the question.
Oh!
Okay.
That is true. He did.
He derailed his own
question.
There
was a question mark.
By mocking
me. I have another question.
Thank you for your
question. No, real question.
Yeah. So, the whole putting on your new self thing, what's the best way to go about that?
Now, you're probably referring to the Apostle Paul's when he says, put on your new self. Is that right, Buck?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I think it's actually a really great question because there's a lot of different ways I think you can put on your new self. I think the most obvious would be, you know, Bible study, prayer, obviously fellowship, communion, partaking in the Acts 2:42 type matrix. But I also think that there, throughout church history, there's been a lot of people that have partaken of what's called the spiritual disciplines. And the spiritual disciplines really are, they really cover the gamut from fasting to times of silence, of really just seeking the Lord. So I think every person really needs to determine, what's going to work in their particular relationship with God and then develop that, you know, dig deep in those areas. Some people I've met that fasting is, I've fasted, but it doesn't, you know, it really doesn't draw me closer to the Lord. But they'll go, man, me getting away, getting out in nature and just praying to God, that is kind of like, you know, where I'll develop a deeper relationship. So I would say, try different things and see really what is the main way that you can put on your new self, developing, you know, that more deeper, intimate relationship with Christ. That's my two cents. Steve-O?
No, dude, I mean, you absolutely nailed it. I've been reading our friend Dave Bruskus's book, Dear Son, and he talks about so many different aspects of faith and to the perspective of a child. It's been rocking my world, but that's first and foremost renewing your mind in the Word of God. I think that is of utmost importance. We can talk about the spiritual disciplines. We can talk about fasting. We can talk about prayer. I think a lot of times, though, and the reason I brought up Bruskus's book is because in a chapter he's talking about his dad's faith versus his mom's faith, and the idea that his mom went to church all the time, but there was nothing really new person about her. She would still do the same thing 6 days a week, but she thought she was cool simply because of, you know, the fact that she went to church. Her dad was agnostic, or his dad was agnostic. He didn't really believe, but he was great in the community. He loved people, and he was always about acts of service and how we can get caught up. Man, today I got to do this act of service. I got to say this. I got to go to this person. I got to confess to the world all of my crap, you know, right here on Facebook. And that at the end of the day will still come out to these acts of service that apart from Christ are meaningless and just religious. And so for me, when I think of how do I put on the new self in the morning, it's that renewing of my mind. Every morning I start my day in prayer early in the morning in my kids' rooms. While they're sleeping, I go and I pray over my kids.
That's cool.
I pray over them. I pray for my wife. I pray for the day. You know, it doesn't mean that I'm going to have like the most exceptional day every day because life happens. But I know that in the morning, when I first kick it off, I got to start in prayer. Yeah. I just have to.
Yeah.
I have to.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not to be like, look at me. I pray every day because I suck, man. I still fall short regularly. But in the quote-unquote attempts to put on the new man, I think sometimes we can go overboard and we can go, man, okay, I got to do this. If I don't read a chapter of this book and if I don't do that and you know, if I don't only listen to worship music on the way to work, if I, you know, we can get into these regimens that can truly become religious.
Yeah, you don't want them to be a legalistic
trap. There's nothing new
trap.
About that. That's right. old. That's called that's called the law.
Right.
So
I think that's kind of where the question is coming up for me because I had something happen last week that just really, I mean, a lot of people know my history being that, you know, it was public knowledge for, you know, a decade plus, you know, and the person that I was before, before Christ saved me, you know, was a completely different person. You know, so I know now that I'm different, but when I have these things pop up in my life, I really just sometimes want to fall back into that old person.
Sure.
Not in every aspect of the sense, but, you know, it's sometimes people make it hard to be a Christian man. Like, it's like, I don't want to sometimes, you know, I want to do things differently in the sense of, you know, I kind of want to take that place of God and be able to, you know, throw down judgment on people, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I appreciate the honesty there, Buck. That is true. And I think that's true with everyone. You know, we are all going to fight temptations. There are going to be those moments where you're just saying, man, this whole Christian thing is tough. But that's why I actually appreciate what Steve-O said, you know, taking every thought captive and really each morning saying, I'm going to focus, I'm going to center myself in Christ, on his word. And it doesn't mean that the day is going to be, you know, walking on air or walking on water, but it is a day that you're committing to the Lord. And here's another thing we always need to remember. It's one of the major doctrinal elements that separates Christianity from any other world religion, and that's grace.
Yeah.
And even when we do blow it, and even when there are moments in our life where we're, you know, not living up to a Christ-like nature, God's grace covers us, and he forgives us, and he picks us up, and he wipes us off, and he says, let's get this going again. So even when we do fall, we have this beautiful biblical teaching called grace. So, you know, the spiritual disciplines are a way to kind of train ourselves, to discipline ourselves in you know, ways of the Spirit. But the best thing is just to rely and trust on God working through his Holy Spirit in our life.
That's it, man. Reliance on God. Because I'll tell you what, when I used, even as a Christian, to put on a new self, I think for many, many a moons, if I screwed up, I immediately had to go the opposite direction. I'm like, you know what it was? It was because I saw Deadpool this weekend. You know what it was? And I would put it off on the music I was listening to or the friend I had in my life or whatever it was and try and put it on some outside source. And all of a sudden, it was day one again. Well, crap, I'm back to day one, and I'm starting all over again. And as we're talking, I'm reading through Scripture. And 2 Corinthians 5:17, where it actually talks about the old versus the new, it says something very interesting. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And in the NIV, it says the new is here. I mean, we are actively new creations. Once we accept Christ, that's it. We're already new creations.
Right.
That doesn't mean we're not going to totally screw up at times. That doesn't mean we're not going to fail and we're going to do miserable things that we did when in our old selves, if you will.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that, oh man, now I got to go to church. I got to say three Hail Marys. I got to do this. What can I do to renew myself again? You're already redeemed. There's no more re-redeeming, you know?
I think we've said this before, Steve-O, but we could summarize Christian theology in three large groupings. The first is justification.
Yeah.
That's, you know, when you become a Christian, you're saved, you're justified, you know, before Christ. The second stage is sanctification. And that's the part Bucks is talking about. That's the part that's hard. It's like, okay, now that I'm saved, how do I become sanctified? And that's where we do have to turn to Scripture and renew our mind and pray and serve and all these other disciplines. And that is it. But what the Bible tells us is that when in the sanctification process, the Holy Spirit is conforming us more and more into the image of Christ.
Yeah.
As Paul even gets more clear, he says the believer as being predestined into the image of Christ. And that just simply means that what God has started in our life, he will complete. He will finish it. He will finalize that moment. But then the third part of the big theology is glorification. That once God is finished with, you know, with us on, you know, planet Earth, we will be with him. Mm-hmm. So it's justification, sanctification, glorification. But again, what Bucks is really just honing in on is this sanctification process. And I think it is a work of the Spirit working in us, and we have to trust and rely on the Spirit and do these things that will really draw us closer to God. But great question today,
dude,
Buck.
Good for stuff, real, buddy. Man.
Hey, you coming in tomorrow?
Yeah, I'll come in for a little bit.
Yes!
Right
okay.
on, Buck.
See you then, buddy.
That's awesome. Good question, man.
The word of the day is paradoxal.
Paradoxal.
Yeah, that's what I've been focusing on as I've been reading this book and going through scripture, is the paradox of feeling remorse, guilt, shame for the acts that I still sin. I still fall short of the glory of God. And I think back to Romans, you know, I think it's Romans 7 where Paul is saying, dude, the things that I want to do, I'm not doing that stuff.
Right.
The things that I'm not,
right.
that I don't want to do, guess what? That's the crap I'm still doing.
And that's part of the sanctification process. That's part of it, what it means to be humans living. Yeah. On planet Earth. You know, we're citizens of God's kingdom because we were saved, but we're also citizens of this world, so there will be those temptations, there will be those problems that we face.
Yeah.
And we really need to just prioritize, you know, facets in our own life to seek the mind of Christ.
Yeah.
Brian, you brought up something that made me think about the church in Acts, you know, and what they did. They did life together.
Right.
They had taco parties together.
Oh, gosh.
They invited
I knew
their
this
friends
was
over
happen.
To taco parties all
he's,
the time.
He's angry.
And they
Go
just
ahead.
Did life together. And that's what I love about the church in Acts.
But now, you know what else I loved about the church in Acts? They were so loving and accepting and forgiving that if, say, a friend had a taco party at his house, but he forgot to invite one of his best
I'm
friends.
I'm reading in between the lines. Steve-O Jeter had a taco party and didn't invite Dex.
You know, there's this great, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says, love keeps no record of wrongdoing. And maybe the friend, you know, it wasn't even a wrongdoing. Yeah. It was a sin of omission. He wasn't trying to sin. He just forgot to invite said friend.
Yeah.
I feel like the other friend could restore that brother by, I don't know, not being a D-bag and bringing it up every 3 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, so.
Ow! Well, you know, Acts 2. The community aspect is right. And Steve-O, 1 Corinthians 13, you know, you guys are both right. I think counseling is in store. You need to take ownership. You need to take aim and action of this issue.
See, you do things like that, now we got to go to counseling.
Yeah. Listen, incredible reminder in 1 Timothy. Maybe you're dealing with something and you're like, you don't understand, bro. You don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've done. The week that I've had, I am filthy. I have done things that are appalling. It's like next level sin. And I'm reminded in 1 Timothy 1:15, it says, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Mm. And it's this incredible reminder that the Apostle Paul, man, he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He's going, no. You think you got crap? You think you got baggage? You think you got stuff? You think you're too far gone to be saved? I am the chief sinner here. And he didn't put it in past tense. He said, of whom I am the foremost, which kind of like rocked my world this week when I was reading that, realizing that the context there was present tense. Mm. Now, I definitely don't want to excuse anyone who's out there like living a lifestyle of suck and just sinning and thinking like, yeah, I'm under grace and it's okay to continue in this and I don't need to repent. I don't need to turn away. Because that's not what it's saying. But it is that reminder for those of us who are struggling through life, who are just living life and wanting to renew our minds and put on that new self, but keep falling short, that it is kind of like a falling forward. The faith of, our Christian faith is this falling forward, if you will. We're going to fall, we're going to get back up, and we're just going to be like, dude, eye on the prize, got to keep going forward. And then you're going to trip, and you're going to fall all over again, you know? And
So. That's a good reminder, Steve-O.
Yeah, you know.
Think about it. Thursday's happening right now. Phone lines are open at 338-3700. And you can also email the show, studio@star88.fm.
We got a bunch of emails to.
Yeah, we have to tackle that art one because that one's intriguing.
He's excited.
Steve-o.
I said art, and he was like, "What?"
So you love art?
I love art. I love music. You know, my minor in my undergraduate days was music history. So
oh, you went to college?
A couple few times. I think I've been a perpetual student my whole entire life.
All right.
Are you still in college now? I mean, do you continue to go?
I take classes for fun. Yeah. Mm. That's what it is. Just, you know, I'm
like
a proponent
so
of lifelong
fun.
Learning.
Yeah. Mm. You really are. Yeah, this is why I'm in this class, the School of Hard Knocks, right here, bro. This is my class every Thursday, and I pretend like I'm getting credit for it. So we got an email from Anonymous who says this, speaking of school. I have an art teacher who teaches European art history who is making claims that most of the early Renaissance artists were homosexuals who had casual and covert sexual relations with their students, peers, and models during the time. Supposedly, it was a time in history where Europeans were trying to revive the Greco Roman culture where these acts were permissible. Sounds like 2016. He's also overtly accusing the church or Christianity of being this domineering bully to art, claiming that the church wanted to dominate all of history and leave no room for inclusive ideas in order to attain power. And this is why there's so much religious art that has been produced, not through the violation of the artist, but by the majority of the Roman Catholic Church commissions. He holds a jauntist viewpoint of Christianity, blaming it for all the atrocious acts that were committed under its purview. After being taught this for weeks, it was rather disconcerting to see the side of history being retold in a different perspective. Even though this left me a bit uncomfortable, I felt it was not worth confronting him on the issue. After all, he is one of the millions of critics who lambast religion. But how do I go about this? I'm so used to seeing Christianity as being this fantastic movement that has enlightened the greatest of all minds throughout the centuries, bringing out the creativity of all people, inspiring the rarest spirits of our time. But to see this huge serpentine edifice being built by this iconoclast, this guy's using words,
yeah,
man. When you were 20, just wrote this email.
Yeah.
Who is, by the way, a prominent art critic in Santa Fe and also a writer for an art magazine in Southern California.
Sure.
It's a bit awkward. He says, my belief in Christ is still the same, but my view of Christendom throughout the centuries has changed. Anonymous.
Yeah, great. And that's a very thoughtful question. And really, to deal with that question, we'd have to deal on many levels. First of all, let me just deal with the art professor here. He is making sweeping statements. He's overstating particular areas. To say that most of the artists during the Renaissance were in homosexual relations is overstating. First of all, we don't have the evidence that most were. Sure, there were, like throughout any era, men and women who were homosexual. But to claim most were, that is a sweeping overstatement. Let's just take the two most popular of the Renaissance artists. Now, there's so many more we could talk about. We could talk about, Filippo Lippi. We could talk about Fra Angelico or Donatello. But
Let's talk about Donatello. It's the only Ninja Turtle I knew from that whole conversation.
The two people that people know of the Renaissance, you have Michelangelo on one hand, and you have Leonardo da Vinci on the other. And they are the representative
Raphael.
Artists. Sure. There are so many amazing Splinter. Artists. But those two do represent two different schools of thought. Mm. You know, Da Vinci was probably, I mean, again, this in and of itself is controversial. But there are a lot of scholars that would say, yeah, maybe he did have homosexual tendencies. On the other hand, Michelangelo, and we know it through his journals and writings, that he was a guy who, sure, had a lot of internal pride issues, but he was also a guy who was passionate about God. He wrote poems and journal entries that really trying to seek after God. And some people would say that Michelangelo was actually a secret follower of the Reformed principles, the Reformation. But the point is that there are all types of people in the Renaissance, just like there are all types of people here. So the art professor's overstatement, oversimplification of a very complex world is wrong. Secondly, You know, his comments about the Roman Catholic Church trying to overpower. You know, there's probably some truth to that. You know, the Roman Catholic Church really at the time was the only game in town. They were the Christian Church. The Eastern Orthodox Church was struggling. Islam had grown in influence and had started to take over the area that the Orthodox Church was once prominent. So it had waned in its influence in the East. So the Western Church, the Roman Catholic Church, was the only game in town. And it is true that they were the main advocates for the arts. They were the main people that were paying artists. But there were other families that were. The Medici family, as an example, were paying for artists independent of the Roman Catholic Church. So again, I mean, there is some truth to that, but that is just the society at which it was. It would almost be like this professor blaming New York and L.A., our two largest art markets. You know, L.A. and New York, they're just trying to dominate.
Yeah,
they're just being unfair. They're dominating. He's making a critique against a culture of that's just how it is. Mm. That was the day and age. That was the cultural context upon which the Renaissance artists were living. So for him to, you know, 1,500 years later, kind of have this snooty look of saying, you know, the church was just trying to dominate, it's completely unbiased. And we have names for that in historical context, which I won't get into because I don't know who this professor is. And then thirdly, you know, this idea of the Renaissance guys being, you know, having to work for the church and everything else. Sure, they had to because that's how they were able to make a living. Today's artists don't have to work, you know, or, you know, provide or produce for the church. So there are other ways to make a living. But that's not to say that Christianity was this big bully. It was just the way it was. And so I think this professor would really have to reevaluate the context upon which he's saying. It's so easy for us to stand back 1,500 years and point fingers. But that's my two cents. You know, the other things are about, you know, how you handle, you know, professors, iconoclast professors is what this caller wrote in as. You have to take what they say. You have to chew it. But then you have to go back to the sources. You have to look at the artists that they're discussing. You have to really look at original sources in order to determine what is what they're saying true. Mm-hmm. And that requires us to put on our thinking cap and to do a little bit of research, because I sat through many of college classes where the professor just spouted off. And I remember one time one professor was just spouting off about, he was doing anti-Christian verbiage. So I, probably much like this one, you know, caller who wrote in this question, I just rose my hand. I said, you know what? You're just spot on wrong. Mm. And he
blew up.
He blew up in class, got red, and just started to ream into me like no other. As a matter of fact, and it was so interesting that a student who was Muslim actually was the only one who came to my defense.
Wow.
He said, you know what? I have never heard such a close-minded, you know, rude person as you, not me, but as this guy. He goes, a student who had, you know, he could back up what he was saying, and he called you on the carpet, and you attack him personally and all this stuff. And, you know, after class, the professor apologized and so on and so forth. And I did, too. I said, you know what? Maybe I should have said you were wrong, but you were.
Yeah.
You know, you were making statements that you really don't have a lot about. Well, you know, when you get your doctorate, you could come and challenge me. Well, I have two doctorates now.
Oh, my gosh. And can we please go back and challenge him?
And two masters.
And can we go back?
And what I'm saying is truth. Truth is truth.
Yeah.
And I was speaking the truth. And and he just, this was an area that he was unfamiliar with. So, and it was an area of Christianity. And so he was just spouting off. Well, I had to correct him on that. And sometimes correction hurts. Yeah. And in that case, it did. So I empathize with this caller there in Santa Fe. So, you know, what you can do is, what I would recommend that you do is you would go back and find out the truth. Go up back and look at the original resources. Determine what was saying. Look at the cultural context upon which that day and age, the Renaissance, it was living within a Christian worldview. Mm. That was the only game in town. So that's my tooth. I've spouted off too long. So no, hopefully, man, that answered
good.
You.
That's good.
I like it, man. Sometimes you just have to look him in the eye and say, that's just the way it is. That's just the way it is.
Bruce Hornsby, everybody.
Bruce Hornsby, ladies and gentlemen.
I love Bruce Hornsby.
Maybe you're in the class and you just have to pull out your phone and YouTube a song, kind of like I just did right now. Say, listen, man, I want to talk to you about your limited views. All right?
Yeah.
We got this for days.
You know, on another thing is, you know what a lot of people like to do? Is listen to Bruce Hornsby on yeah. Think About It Thursday.
But what, your iPhone.
On your
just,
iPhone.
You know, just jamming what, it
what
hard
a lot of people
right now, guys.
Do neglect to think is that there really were two series of the Renaissance. There was the Southern Renaissance.
You are talking over Hornsby, dog.
Yeah, because I'm getting to the core of this to enlighten our listener. There really was two Renaissance.
I feel
the
like
Southern
is
Renaissance
really
happened to be revolving around Rome. So you had people such as, you know, Leonardo da Vinci and such. But the Northern Renaissance was really bibliocentric. Mm-hmm. So you would have people like Desiderius Erasmus and others. And they went back to the original sources of the Bible and so on and so forth. You had Luther and others. All these guys lived in the Renaissance. So again, to say that all Renaissance people just bowed to the Roman Catholic Church is an incorrect statement. Mm. The Northern Renaissance were not. They were creating what we would call the Reformation, and they were creating their own arts that were astronomically different in so many ways than the Southern Renaissance. They weren't creating art that was bowing to the Roman Catholic Church. They were creating art that was unique and new, largely nature scenes. But you think of Rembrandt, who came a little bit later
Love
after the Renaissance.
Toothpaste.
But, you know, all of these things really, what I'm saying is this professor has a very narrow view of the Renaissance.
You could say that, or you could just say, that's just the way it is. I like my answer better. You had a lot of words there. My answer was summed up with keys,
Stop
man.
Stop it right now.
Just saying.
338-3700. So hey, no? Let's jump into our Pope conversation because
yes.
I know there's a...
Man, we have so many questions
know,
to get to.
I know, but we got to talk Pope because we've been teasing that all morning.
Pope!
Yeah, let's
Pope,
do it. Let's okay. talk about the Pope. Here's
the
question.
It started from our boy Edward out in El Paso, Texas, who said, yo, the Pope is in Juarez today. He didn't say yo. I said yo. He'll be giving a mass there. It's going to be broadcast all over the Jumbotron. I've already seen plenty of t-shirts with images of the Pope. Looks to me as if they're glorifying him instead of glorifying God. I guess I'm just wanting your opinions on the Pope and how people seem to look at him rather than Jesus. Now, here's the deal. We answered this yesterday. We talked a little bit about it, said, look, we can't blame the Pope for the people, you know, being weird and
wanting t-shirts
of him. You know, I've got random t-shirts with like Jimmy Eat World on it. I'm not worshiping
yeah.
Jimmy
and
World.
Dex, granted, he's got a t-shirt on my face.
Time, but, you know, yeah. I'm wearing a Foo Fighters hoodie today.
I've seen people with Billy Graham t-shirts.
I don't mm-hmm. worship them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Billy Graham t-shirts. I actually do have a Ronald Reagan t-shirt, you know, but that doesn't mean I'm worshiping them. So we can't say that all people are doing that. However, when we talked about it, we said, I like what the Pope's doing. You know, he's out there, he's serving the people, he's all about trying to get us in more in community and taking care of the homeless, the widows, the orphans, the true religion, as it's called in Scripture. Well, we got a response to that. Our boy Nate said, I find it fascinating that you guys give such an approval to the Pope. I do pray you're spending time with the Lord and in prayer. Any discerning Christian should be able to spot a false prophet, right? 1 John chapter 4, right? Galatians 1, 6 through 10, right? The Pope preaches a works salvation. He's actually under the condemnation Jude speaks of. Many will follow him into the pit. Fast and pray, friends. Thanks, Nate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, let me go back, first of all, to Edward's question about the office of the Pope. And I know a little bit of history could bore some people, but it really is important for us to get the fuller context. You guys know me. Let's step back.
No, I'd love
Let's
that.
Get the big picture
before
we jump to, you know, conclusions.
Specifically this Pope.
We have to understand in the early church, there was an assortment of bishops. There wasn't just one bishop. Right. As a matter of fact, the earliest councils, the leader wasn't the Roman bishop. Some of the earliest leaders in the early church were really from Northern Africa and the Eastern Church, what we would call Eastern Orthodoxy today. But then something in 410 happened. That's when Rome fell. And so the Goths and Visigoths from the northern part of Europe came down and they decimated Rome. Well, what happened is the Roman bishop, and he was a great Roman bishop, Gregory, came and made he made peace and brought stability to there. He gained in prominence at that time. And that was really the first major step that gave the prominence to the Roman bishop. Then through the early Middle Ages into the high Middle Ages, Rome grew in strength and power and so on and so forth. But you still have to remember there was still the Eastern Orthodox Church that had a completely separate structure, organization, and such of their churches, and they were still Christians. So probably when you go listen to someone like Edward, we have to put this in context because we have to understand that the early church knew nothing of the Pope. The early church knew of bishops, different leaders who were leading their different congregations. But when we talk about the Middle Ages, we do have to talk about the Pope. And when you start talking about the Pope, historically, you have to really say there were some great popes, such as Leo and Gregory and such. And then there were some not so great popes. And we really have to weigh it in a fairness. Now, of course, when it gets to the Renaissance and then the Reformation, one of the main things the Protestants did was fight and rebel against the Pope. So the Pope really became a sore spot, if you will, for the Protestants. But why I say all this is I think we have to take a balanced view. The Roman bishop is just one of many Christian leaders. Some have been good and some have been bad. Just like we can say in Protestantism, there's been some great pastors and there's been some not so great pastors. In the Eastern Orthodox Church, there's been some great leaders and there's not been some great leaders. So we have to really just get a balanced view of who the Pope is. So when we get to Nate's question, don't we know? Well, I would actually throw that back to him. Doesn't he know his history? Mm. Doesn't he understand the full scope of what God has done? God has been speaking through Christ for 2,000 years. Mm. To dismiss God's voice in the early church or the Middle Ages is a disservice to the work of the Holy Spirit working in the hearts and lives of people. So to be presumptuous and to say and to think that you have all truth at this particular time is really a statement of haughtiness, I would say. Now, do I agree with everything the Roman bishop has to say? Absolutely not. Would I disagree? Absolutely, I would disagree. As I've said many times before, I am a dyed-in-the-wool Protestant for many reasons, for biblical and historical reasons. But at the same time, I could look at Roman Catholic individuals and still talk to them about Christ because we all prescribe to Protestants, Orthodox, and Roman Catholics, we prescribe to at least three creeds. And those creeds are nothing more than early statements of faith. And they would be the Apostles' Creed, the Chalcedon, and the Nicene Creed. Actually, Nicaea came first and then Chalcedon. And these are the creeds that outline what we believe about the Christian faith, what we believe about the Bible, and so on and so forth. And Orthodox, Roman Catholic, and Protestants all agree upon those three creeds. Now, Roman Catholicism goes on to have four other creeds. There were seven ecumenical creeds in the early church. Most Protestants, by the fourth one, we start saying, I don't know if we're too interested in that. But in those first three creeds, they define the nature of Christ. They define the canon of Scripture. They define the nature of the Trinity, and all of these things that are so essential to the beliefs. And I've got a newsflash for our world and our listeners. Roman Catholics, Protestants, and Orthodox, with some differences over what's called the filioque clause, but we all agree on those things. And to my knowledge, Roman Catholicism, nor the Orthodox Church, has denied any of those creedal elements. Now, we can disagree with Roman Catholics. You know, it says it's a faith-based thing. We can disagree with that. But to assume that they're not Christians based upon that one little doctrine, I think is overstepping your bounds. You know, I've discussed this, you know, many, many times over with many Protestants and Roman Catholics, and I get hate mail on both sides. Right. You know, from the Roman Catholics saying, well, you know, you Protestants, you're a renegade, you're a rebellious church, you're going to hell. And then I get it from the, the Protestants who said, you're being too lenient. And I'm saying, no, I'm just being historical and biblical and reasonable. Let's look at this from the big picture. I think, you know, if someone's serious, I think probably the best book out there that really dialogues in a very clear and concise but honest and balanced way is Norman Geisler's book. He writes a book on Roman Catholicism, and he writes it with a Roman Catholic, and they talk and debate back and forth what Protestants believe, what the Bible has to teach, and what Roman Catholics have to teach. So I would encourage Nate to maybe pick up that book. And of course, he would say, well, Norm agrees with me. Well, Norm agrees with me. Norman Geisler was one of my professors. Mm-hmm. So, but the point is, we really have to look at it historically. We have to look at it reasonably and biblically. You know, there are big things there. Now, does that make every Roman Catholic person you meet a true born-again believer? No. But every Protestant is not a true born-again believer as well. Every Orthodox is not. That's why we have to make the centrality Christ. So that's my two cents. I probably went a little too long.
No, as far as the Pope,
are you kidding me? I want to like tear my shirt off and run behind you. Oh, snap! That's all I want to do.
As far as the Pope, you know, in this last email we got, was it yesterday, about him saying that, you know, he's... What were the words he said in the email?
About the Pope himself.
Did he call him an Antichrist?
He didn't call him the Antichrist, but he did say that he's a false prophet, that he's actually under the condemnation Jude spoke of, and that many will follow him into the pit, and that we should be fasting and praying because obviously we can't spot.
What are your thoughts on the
false
Pope?
Prophet?
I personally don't prescribe to the Protestant notion that the Pope is the Antichrist.
Yeah.
That's been going around, interestingly enough, since the early Reformation. There were a lot, particularly, as a matter of fact, in the Geneva Bible, which was a Calvinist book, they translated the Bible into English, and then they put footnotes. And that was one of the first areas where... they gave allusions that, you know, they didn't call him the Antichrist, but he was like an Antichrist type behavior. But again, this was Protestants. These were guys who were overreacting in some cases to the office of the Bishop of Rome. Again, I don't agree with everything the office of the Bishop. There's things I vehemently, you know, disagree with. But again, to not put it in the larger context of you know, the faith is, I think, is really doing a disservice not only to Protestantism but also to Roman Catholicism. Mm-hmm. You know, I would probably go back and say some of the things that I would disagree with are more historical, things such that happened around the Council of Trent in the 1400s. Mm-hmm. You know, the infallibility of the Pope and some of these other things. But to say that the office of the Pope or the Roman bishop is the Antichrist, Christ, that's pretty tough, because there is some, you know, pause that there were some great godly leaders that were the senior pastor, the bishop of Rome throughout history.
I wanted to go back, because as we talk about the Pope, whether good or bad, you know, I can't judge him according to I don't know him. All I can do is hear his words, see his actions, because, you know, according to our emailer, that he's proclaiming a works salvation through works. And so I went back to try and find where the Pope said anything like that.
Well, the current Pope doesn't. What Nate's referring to is that in Catholic doctrine, you are saved by works and faith. Yeah. And they use subtexts like, you know, the Apostle Paul, where he says, "Work out your salvation with, you know, fear and trembling." And this idea that Roman Catholics have is that you're not just saved by grace through faith, which is what Protestants would say, but you're saved by grace through faith and works. Mm-hmm. How Protestants would phrase that is, we're saved by works and grace unto faith, that we're saved unto good works. But we would disagree with Roman Catholics there. But that doesn't make them the Antichrist.
It doesn't.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and he even says, the Pope, in talking about how we ought to be out evangelizing the poor, that this is our mission from Christ, according to what he himself said, mission of the church to these poor. And he said, what does it mean to evangelize the poor? It means, above all, being close to them, having the joy of serving them, freeing them from oppression, and all this in the name of and with the Spirit of Christ, because he is the gospel of God. He is the mercy of God. He is the liberation of God. It is he who was made poor in order to enrich us. He said, be attentive. This isn't about giving social assistance, much less about political activity. It has to do with the power of the gospel of God, who converts hearts, heals the wounded, and transforms human and social relationships according to the logic of love.
Wow. That's
right
on.
I'm down with those words.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm like, hey, I don't know this guy. All I can see is what he proclaims, and he's proclaiming love and grace and mercy and true, as we talk about true religion and what does it look like, and in the book of James, we're given clear instruction that caring for the widows, the orphans, and this is what the Pope is proclaiming to us.
I am surely never going to judge a man's salvation. You know, I think biblically we can look at the fruit, and right now his fruit's looking pretty good. There are things that he says that you go, I'm going to scratch my head, against that. But that's with all of us. I'm sure our callers, I know for myself, people will listen to me and go, hey, I liked a little bit of what you said, and I didn't like a little bit of what you said. But my challenge for any listener is, don't listen to me. Go back to the scripture.
Yeah.
Go look at the history of the church. Use your reason. This is what I would call the trifecta of Christian responsibility. Our first responsibility is to look at scripture. Let's see what the entire Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. But we always have to weigh that in light of history. We are not islands unto himself. The Lord has been working for 2,000 years. To be presumptuous and to say, well, he just started to work, you know, when the Protestants came along, that's a disservice to the Lord, to the God Almighty, to God Almighty, not the God Almighty. Mm-hmm. But, and then when all said and then, we have to sit back and go, let's reasonably think through this. So that's why I'm a huge advocate that people do learn their history, their church history, because it balances you out. It makes you get off, these soapboxes that you're the way, the truth, and life. Well, guess what? You're not. Jesus Christ is.
We got a comment from a listener who said, it's so frustrating to hear Christians attack different religions that are faith-based, such as Catholic, Protestant, Baptist, etc. Individuals are given the freedom to choose what they worship. Sadly, many put many things before the true and living God. In every church religion, there are false prophets. God's word warns us and tells us to study and show ourselves approved.
That's right.
To take the good and discard the bad. Also, Jesus told us not to fight amongst ourselves about religious ceremonial differences. What binds us together is love for one another and our belief in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Right. And that is so good, because that's where I said, we Christians, sometimes we're known more for who we bash against in our own party than what we're for. And that's what I'm saying, and why I brought up the early creeds, because those were the unifying factors that said, this is our statement of belief. And if we can't trust the Lord working in these early councils, he was working. And by the way, it wasn't led by the Roman bishops. It was led by Eusebius, and some of them by Constantine. People from the East were leading these early councils. But my point is, you had over 300 pastors representative of most brands of Christianity. Some of the non-Chalcedon guys weren't there, but you had 300 pastors that convened together, and they came together and said, this is what Orthodox biblical Christianity is. And they came up with the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, and the Chalcedon. And the Orthodox, Protestants, and Roman Catholic all believe in those things. That is what defines biblical Christianity. A lot of these other things we like to argue over, they're important, iron sharpens iron, but does it make you a non-Christian? Right. I would dare say it doesn't.
Dude, you know, can we just walk around like downtown, like going to bars and like have you school people, and then I'll just walk up and be like, my boy's wicked smart. I feel like I'm in Goodwill Hunting, and I'm Ben Affleck and you're Matt Damon. And yeah. You're just like, dude. I just want to quote that movie all day yeah. long and,
well, and
hang
I also,
out with you, Beenix.
Well, I think you know it's important for people to understand the history. Now, here's where I would disagree with the Roman Catholic Church. This idea that there's been the office of the Pope for, you know, since Peter, I would disagree with that. As a matter of fact, I think history shows us there's been a bishop in Rome, but that he was superior than any other pastors, I think really is an overstatement on the part of the Roman Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. There has been senior bishops in Rome, but that didn't make them the leader of the church. It wasn't until the fall of Rome, and then you had people like Leo and Gregory and such that really were able to step in, that the office of the Pope. As a matter of fact, the word Pope wasn't used until the 300s in a very real term. And it was used as Papus. And you know, he said, you know, I could be like your father. So it's one of those type of things that I would there historically I would disagree with the Roman Catholic Church in some areas, but I want us to keep balanced and keep, you know, a larger historical overview of this. You know, we're going to have to agree to disagree with some things.
Yeah, man. Our boy Paul in Houston summarized it as such. Denominations can be as polarizing as a pass penalty kick. Am I right?
Oh, the soccer.
He's such a fan of like true football.
Yeah, oh, it is true football. You know, I'm going to probably just have to drive out to Houston to meet a true soccer
fan.
Let's
just go kick it, man.
Yeah, it is true. You know, denominationally. Now, let me say, there are certain things worth discussing and debating and fighting over. And when I say fighting, I mean more debating. But the
conversation.
The conversation. That's why I bring out Norman Geisler's book, because I do think that it is one of the best books on it, where he actually converses in a real way with Roman Catholics, a Roman Catholic scholar, to discuss the issues that divide. He just doesn't take a lambasting way.
I love it.
Well, we're almost out of
man, which sucks.
Show.
We got some great comments, and I wanted to get to one more, but we don't have time.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. Let me just, for our listeners of Edward and Nate, just because I've you know, said this, but the book is by Norman Geisler. It's called Roman Catholics and Evangelicals, Agreements and Differences. Mm-hmm. It's a thicker book, but I think that we need to inform ourselves as evangelicals where we stand, but also have a very gracious demeanor and understand the history that's gone before us and be respectful of that as well.
I'm going to throw out a week-long tease. How's that? From a girl, Britt, who emailed in and said, do you believe that as believers we can be tormented by demons? And if so, do we as believers have the authority to cast that demon away? Can we dig deep into that next week? Yes, we can. Sweet!
Yeah.
All right. Deliverance ministries, they're becoming a prominent thing in modern day churches, so she's heard multiple opinions on it.
Yes.
Next week, dude.
We'll have a lot to say on that, yes.
Can we cast demons out?
Can we do that? Can we exercise?
Yes. Demon Hunter. I listen to Demon Hunter all day long. That's all I want to do. Just all the time, all days.
If you missed any of the show this morning, hit the podcast. It'll be up at iTunes. It'll be up at star88.fm. You can go to our Morning Invasion page and get the whole shows. Get them all.
The whole shebang.
Hours and hours. And Brian Nixon, always a pleasure,
yes.
Sir.
Dex, my pleasure.
My boy's wicked smart. Mm. Do you like apples?
I love apples.
Well, I got a number. How do you like them apples? I'm going to go watch Goodwill Hunting. I just want to be Ben Affleck. I'm cool being like the less smart one.
Steve-O?
Yeah, man.
Say the last word. I'm out of here.
The last word is...
paradox.
Thank you, Brian. Goodbye.